this who music?
Is this? Yardbirds or Animals?
I don't know who it is. Who is it, Kevin?
Animals. Eric Burden. Coming to town with the Animals. Remember he was in the studio?
Yes.
We got to get him back in the studio and just one animal with him.
That's all we ask. It could be any animal. We're not asking for anything exotic.
Animals.
We just want some animal. Welcome to the show, everybody. We're thrilled that you're listening and hope you enjoy what you hear. We had a huge honor bestowed upon us yesterday.
What?
We are, according to America's Heavy 100, and they're the deciders of
it's
who's who and who's
com.
What. It's talkers.com. We have the 81st most popular radio show in the country.
Well, talkers.com is an online who's who of the talk radio industry.
Right.
They do the Heavy 100, and
right.
Rose in there in the 70s.
Steve Cochran is number 50, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've never been in it before, and we've been on the air for many years. We took a 16-year hiatus.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hiatus. I've always wanted to not only be on it, but I wanted to crack the top 82, and we did. We were number 81. And Kevin and I this was going to be a surprise, but I can tell you now, we're having giant foam rubber hands made that have 81 fingers as if to say, we're 81. We're 81. I'm very proud of being number 81 in the country.
I know. This is huge. I mean, of course, you get your rushes and...
He was number one.
He always is because he's a windbag.
I'm not sure what the criteria is. I think is it most influential? It couldn't
God,
be.
Then
we
why
were number
are we
81.
On it?
It couldn't be most influential.
It's just who people are taking notice of between ratings and you know, content matters sometimes somewhere along those
Again,
lines.
Again, I'm not positive how we would have gotten in
yeah,
based on that. But what an honor. And boy, my family couldn't be more proud.
It's exciting news. I'm very happy for you guys.
Thank you, Steve. You're part of this too, you know.
Ish. Yeah.
You can know. You're in there.
You're
totally part of
in
it.
There. Kevin, you're in there
Kevin's
too.
In there.
We can say that we're number 81.
Yeah, we'll be the number one parts of the 81.
I loved how you did that. You could clearly hear the one, but not the 80. Can you do that again? What number are we?
We're number 81.
Yep. You got to say it really quietly. You know what's amazing is I don't know if you shared the news with your family, but I told my family, and boy, were they excited.
Are you being sarcastic?
All right. My dad ran a series of furniture stores over the year. And if my dad had showed us as a family, if my dad had said, hey, guess what? They did a poll of all the furniture store managers in the country, and I'm 81 in the whole country, we would have gone to Orange Julius. We would have just gone crazy and said, well, this is the best thing in the world. Only Reese actually, you know, she was, well, that's great, Dad. 81 is great.
My family was ecstatic.
It didn't move my family the way I thought it would.
Although I'll tell you, I'm in a radio family, Jimmy Mack in radio for, you know, 20-some years, 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
He was so excited. He, you know, shared it on his Facebook page and everything.
That's nice.
Michael, who does radio, and he's on the management team of his radio station in high school, WLTL, he said, finally, Mom, after 30 years on the air, you finally
Some
matter.
Some recognition. Wasn't that nice?
You finally matter? That's not
well,
that nice.
It's more than I got.
And I got a high five from Dylan, and he hit me so hard, I think my hand is still red.
Oh.
I wish somebody would explain to these boys that I'm a girl.
Right.
I know you guys forget it sometimes. I think they do too.
Well, how do we remedy that? Is there some way?
More cleavage, I guess.
I guess that's all we could do.
Will you look at these? Don't look at my eyes.
We'll move up in the rankings next year if that's the case. Goodbye, 81. Hello, 73.
Listen, I'm a radio geek. I have been doing it for almost, this is my 30th year on the air. You've been doing it a hell of a long time. I know you started out in stand-up.
Yeah.
You're the best partner I've ever worked with.
Oh, come on.
And I've worked with everyone.
Thank you. Yes.
Everyone.
Yes. I looked at the Hot 100. You had worked with 83 out of the 100. That's a lot of people.
Has worked with code because that's not true.
No, it's not code. Not
so
code.
I'm pretty excited to be part of that.
I was too. I didn't think it would ever. Every year when that list came out, It's called sour grape syndrome. You look at the list and you go, who cares?
Windbag.
Who wants to be on that list? Look at that
windbag.
Guy. If that guy made the list, it must not be much of a list. But then when you're on the list, you go, oh, this is a smart list.
We're on the list.
Whoever's put this list together, they're smart people.
Ted, we're number 81 out of 100. How about that?
Yeah, congratulations, guys. Good for you.
Thank you, Ted.
I'd approach that from the standpoint of in the group of 80s. You are number one.
All right. See, I like that.
Out of the group that is ranked 81st through 89th or 90th, we are number one. There's a positive spin.
Ted, you know what we're going to do? Because we're feeling good today. How about a Lou Malnati's gift certificate?
Hey, I'm good with that. Thank you.
See, you're nice to us. We're nice to you. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. Or, hey, you can order online at loumalnati's.com. So enjoy, Ted.
Thank you, Ted.
All right. Hey, Bill and Wendy are number one.
Kind of.
In the
80s. Kind of. There's always an asterisk.
Good enough. You're
nice
number one.
Asterisk. Thank you.
Hang on, Ted.
Thanks, Ted.
I don't know if it's you or me who put the ass in asterisk.
One of us. Maybe both.
Okay.
A quick break, and then more of us. Bill and Wendy, the 81st most popular talk show in all the land. It's WGN.
All right, it's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It's 720 WGN, and listener Dave has called in. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Dave. This is big.
You know, what is it again, Bill? What are we doing?
We are the 81st. No, I don't know how to qualify this. Is it the most? How do they bracket it?
It's the
81st most influential.
I don't even know. It's talkers.com and the heavy hitters.
I got something for you.
What's that?
I was doing my taxes and going over my phone records.
Yeah.
And I looked down and said, you know, if I dial WGN right now, unbelievable. This is my 81st call to you guys.
It is? That's fantastic. Congrats to you.
I can believe this. Dave's going to say that's ridiculous.
No.
But my phone records just told me. I looked at it and said, 80 calls to WGN. If I dial now, that's 81. Holy man.
Wow. The synchronicity of it all.
That's awesome, Dave.
I'm blown away by it.
What if we told you we're out of Lou Malnati's Pizza? Would you take this call back?
No. I just thought it'd be kind of freaky to give you a call and let you know how the numbers kind of flow, you know, universal mind, all that good stuff,
yep.
You know.
It all ties in. Well, congrats to you. As you congratulated us, Dave, we also congratulate you. 81 is the number of the day.
Thank you, guys.
All right, take care.
Thank you so much. You do the same. Have a good one.
You too, Dave. How sweet. You know what year we graduated from high school?
That would be 1981.
Look at that.
How about
symmetry.
That? I'm going to play those lottery numbers today, 8 and 1. I won't win because they call more numbers than just the two, but...
Do 811.
I don't have time for that.
That extra digit pushes you over the top.
That would take me way too long. Way too long. I have a quick question. Dave, our caller, just a moment ago mentioned taxes, and I finally finished mine on Monday. And then here's a question I have that I don't understand. The tax day is always April the 15th. But this year, and I'm not complaining.
I know, because I'm not.
I'll take those
extra
days. Oh, you have to start soon.
Yeah, I know.
You have to start soon. But they've decided that this year it's not on the 15th, the due date, because it's a Friday. It's now the 18th, a Monday. And again, I'm not complaining. Those extra days, you're a person who could benefit from those. But I get it if it's a Sunday, because the post office would be closed.
And that's where it began. It was a couple years ago that it did happen over the weekend, so you got an extended time.
Yeah.
I have no idea on earth why they have extended it to the 18th.
I can't figure it out. And it's, again, no complaints. It's just weird that somebody, because usually, I don't know if you know this, but the government is out to get you. Did you know that? The government wants to get you. But this time around, the government's like, you know what, a Friday. You don't want to think about your taxes.
Did they ever really bust someone for mailing it in a day late?
I think you pay
just
a penalty.
Fines.
You can pay a small penalty.
But how do
for
they
that?
Check that? I mean,
they've got so much to.
I know, but they've got so much to go through. Is there like an elf sitting there at the IRS saying, April 15th, April 14th, April 13th, April 16th?
Right.
Here's $25.
Right.
Well, you know, tax day, April 18th, as Bill mentioned, giving us three extra days to prepare our annual fiduciary sacrifice
Watch
to the IRS.
Watch, Wendy. We finally achieved something. Don't ruin it.
Actually, this gives me extra time because then I'll get it together on the 17th.
Plenty of time.
Who do we have to thank for this?
Obama?
No, usually that's a negative.
People usually blame Obama for things like this.
This is from NewJersey.com.
So Chris Christie?
No. Abraham Lincoln.
Is it Abraham Lincoln?
The deadline for filing federal taxes is April 15th, unless it falls on a Saturday or Sunday, in which case tax day is moved to Monday, the next business day. But since 2005, Washington, D.C., where the IRS is headquartered, celebrates Emancipation Day on April 16th, mm-hmm. the day in 1862 that Lincoln signed the Compensated Emancipation Act. It freed the slaves in the District of Columbia, with the federal government paying slave owners up to $300 per slave. More than 3,000 were freed.
Mm-hmm.
And in D.C., when Emancipation Day falls on a Saturday, as it does this year, the celebration moves back a day to Friday. And because Washington, D.C. holidays are essentially considered federal holidays for government workers in the Capitol, the next business day is Monday.
Oh, it makes sense.
The answer to your question.
I guess that makes sense.
But when did they started... Since 2005, this is when they started celebrating Emancipation Day on April 16th. So
I would love to hear from somebody, though, who, as Steve pointed out, handed it in the next day, sent it in the next day, and the postmark is on the 16th instead of the 15th, and the IRS clamped
sure
down on
do.
It.
I'm sure they do. Listen,
no, I'm sure they don't.
Can I tell you, when I joined my White Trash Beach Club, you had to have it the fees sent in by March 1st, and
right.
March 1st fell on a Sunday.
Yeah.
I put it in the mail on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And thinking, okay, well, Monday's the 2nd, but big deal. They called me and wanted an extra $50. And I said, are you kidding me? I said, it could not be postmarked on March 1st. Yeah, we've been getting a lot of calls. Yeah, because it's stupid.
The town hall in Evanston has a mailbox out in front of the town hall in the back. All the parking is in the back of the town hall in Evanston. And there's a mailbox there, and according to legend, if you have a payment to be made, you put it in that mailbox because it's about 20 paces from the door
we
of the town hall,
too.
Right? All right. I had a ticket that I needed to pay, and I put it in with I had a day's clearance. I was one day ahead of the ticket's due date, and I put it in there and then got a late charge because, as they explained to me, well, we don't go to the mailbox and bring it inside to the town hall. That goes to the post office, and then there's a couple of day turnaround. And then it comes back to us. And I said, but it's 20 paces from your front door. You can't just send a guy out and get all the and bring it in. We can't do that.
Okay, that's weird, because when we drop off our payments, we don't put a stamp on it, and they just walk across the street and get it.
I wish it was like that
for
us.
Did you put a stamp on it?
I can't remember.
Maybe that was the delay.
Stamps? What are those? No, I can't remember if there was a stamp involved
or
not.
That's ridiculous.
But it says something like collection.
But again, they get 12 a day.
Right.
You know,
right.
So they can afford to say,
right.
Look at the date.
Right. I know.
Like, it's not like the federal government.
I know. Isn't that crazy, though? I always liked, and I don't know if they still do this, but they used to show at the old post office, this was a standard news event every year on the 15th, whereas it must have been right at midnight, right? They had people there who may or may not have even worked for the post office. I don't know. It was just people that would come up to your car and accept your IRS forms and your check, and then you would, you know, I guess they would check you off on some list or sign something. I don't remember the specifics, but I went, well, that's really last minute. If you're driving to the old post office at midnight,
that used
on
the to be
15th,
the TV story every year.
Every year,
that was the footage. They still have that footage. According to TurboTax.com, you guys, if you're getting a refund, the question is, what if I miss the April 18th, 2016 filing deadline?
Yeah.
If you're getting a refund, there's no need to panic. 2015 tax returns that are due a refund have until April 18th or October 17th with an extension.
Yeah, you can.
I have to do that every year, but you still have to pay. You pay now.
If you have money coming back, you pay for an extension?
I never have money coming back.
Oh, you don't?
Uh-uh. It has to be filed with the IRS before the statute of limitations on the refund runs out. If you don't file by then, the U.S. Treasury simply keeps your donation.
Oh.
So you have to file something.
Right. You have to file, right.
Then you pay a penalty. What you owe.
Late filing penalty can be 10 times higher than late payment penalty.
How much higher? 10 times higher?
That's late filing. So you have to at least file, because now you can do things electronically.
Right.
I know Ron Lewis, our accountant, can just, like Jim is frantically putting together all the figures today, and I still have some to give him. And then he is going to call the accountant, and then Ron faxes it in, and we have to write a check that day.
Oh.
By the 18th.
I'm not worried because I have Willie Nelson and Wesley Snipes do my taxes for me every year. So
you are
I'm
lucky.
Sure everything's going to be fine. We'll take a quick break. Steve will give you the news, and then more show coming your way. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, can I say a quick word about best friends? Everybody needs a best friend. I mean, having friends is great, but what you want to get is a best friend. Ben Affleck had Matt Damon. That was his best friend. Beanie had Cecil. That was his best friend. Peanut Butter, of course, has Jelly. My best friend is Black Hawk great Grant Mulvey, and he joins us right now on the phone. Hi, Grant.
Hello, Bill. How's my best friend doing?
How's my best friend doing?
You guys.
Oh, it's so great. So great. I couldn't. And Wendy, how are you doing? It's so great to hear from you. And I hope the boys are all doing well. And the whole Star Wars thing has kind of settled down a little bit in your family.
Can I just tell you how adorable you are? I know you already have a best friend, but if
That's
I could
me.
Be, you know, maybe number four, I'd be happy.
Sure.
Or number 81.
Right. Right.
You know what? You can only have one best friend.
That's true.
Wendy, I'm sorry. Bill is my best friend.
Don't be sorry, Grant.
How much do you pay Grant to say that?
There's no. You can't put a price on best friendship. That's impossible. It's impossible.
Right.
Grant, you're
That's
in
right.
St. Louis now, just scoping it out, making sure that the ice is safe and that everything will go according to plan, right?
Well, I'm just absolutely. I just went through the rink. I made sure that there was lots of tacks, and gravel
yep.
on the runway from the St. Louis Blues dressing room to the ice, and made sure that their ice is a lot slower than our ice.
Good.
And, yeah. It's a beautiful day here in St. Louis, and it's really a buzz. You know, they're talking about the. You know, back in the day, we used to have some great, great rivalries. You know, the playoffs were just wars against St. Louis mm-hmm. in the 70s and 80s and 90s. And, you know, the two teams have not met a lot in the playoffs in the last few years. And this was a rivalry, a St. Louis Blues-Chicago Blackhawks that was... It just makes my hands start to sweat a little bit just thinking, and I get goosebumps thinking of just the wars. They always lasted seven games, and they were just wars. So hopefully this series will end in the right way that the Blackhawks win, but we'll be entertained with great, great, great hockey.
I hope so. I really hope so.
Now, are you good with us starting out with the Blues? Is that cool in your book?
Yeah, at the end of the day, everyone will always say, you know, it's a cliche in sports. You have to go through the best teams to win the Stanley Cup, and you have to go through the best teams to win the Stanley Cup. And no matter when you meet them, you have to go through them. And, St. Louis is certainly one of the premier teams in the NHL. And in the last 10 games, I was just reading that, They've got the hottest record in all of hockey. So we have to go through them, and we might as well go through them when we're fresh and healthy. And the playoffs take such a toll on your body that I'd rather see them now than in the third round when we're a little tired and beat up.
Who, Grant, as you scout their lineup, the St. Louis Blues lineup, give us a name or two that some are more obvious than others, but who would surprise you? Who's the St. Louis Blue that we really have to keep an eye on?
Well, as a big, tall, skater, I was always afraid of those short little guys. And they have one kid that's a good player. I think his name is like Jamie Schwartz or something like that. And he's a good little player, and he... he's got great speed. He's a guy that could come out and score three or four goals. They have Stasny, that is a St. Louis kid. I played against his father and his uncles, and he's a wonderful, wonderful young man. He's made his home here in St. Louis, and Stasny could be another guy that has a breakout series.
But Tarasenko, would you agree that is the most dangerous St. Louis Blues player right now, is Vladimir Tarasenko?
No question. He is a talented, talented young player and needs, again, you know, these young players, these young, talented players, they need a win. And St. Louis needs to win this series in a, you know, they have to be so intense every time they step on the ice. And Tarasenko is one guy that has to elevate his game for sure.
Grant, could you do that thing, and we're best friends, so we're always doing stuff like this, where you call his house and tell him that the game has been rescheduled till tomorrow night? Wouldn't that be a fun prank?
Yeah, that the game has been... How come you're not in Chicago? The series is starting in Chicago. You're still in St. Louis. You better get on a train to St. Louis or to Chicago real quick.
Do that, Grant. Know? I love that.
Well, we should be back in full form tonight, right? You've got Artem Anisimov, who will be back. Andrew Shaw will be back. Marian Hossa. Corey, of course, came back over the weekend. And no Duncan Keith until next game, correct?
Correct. Duncan Keith is he's out for he's like that slap shot. You know, you go like this, like that, and you get a penalty. And he's still in the penalty box for another game. But I think the Blackhawks are getting back to healthy, and hopefully Corey Crawford's going to be a key factor in this. And it was good to see him that he got into the one game. And got his kind of sea legs, and he'll be ready to go. You know, certainly Kane and Panarin need Anisimov to really kind of center that line. Hossa is a playoff performer. That is a guy that is good to have a breakout playoff. He's getting a little long in the tooth, and he certainly is a world class hockey player, and when the playoffs start, he just seems to get excited, and so it's good to see. And then, you know, certainly Andrew Shaw he's always good for you know, that tenacity, and we miss him when he's not in the lineup, that is for sure.
So Bickle's back down to the Ice Hogs, Brian Bickle.
Yeah, he came up and I feel real bad for Vic because, you know, he came up, he was, you know, I don't know if he's still struggling with that piece of vertigo that he had or,
right.
You know, but he was, you know, a half a step behind, and I really feel bad for, you know, I only watched him in the one game, and he seemed to... have a couple of moves that he was still struggling a little bit, but you know, it's beautiful to have the depth that the Blackhawks had when you have a Brian Bickle as talented as he is to be in the minors playing in Rockford right now, and as soon as, you know, if they have an injury, that he's going to be called up for sure. He's got three Stanley Cups in his
absolutely.
We're talking to Blackhawk great and my best friend in the whole wide world, Grant Mulvey. Grant, talk about the difference from a player's standpoint. You know, as the season goes on, you play a team one game in a row. Sometimes you play a team twice in a row. But during the playoffs, the Stanley Cup, the playoffs, you're playing a team four, five, six, and even seven games in a row. So what happens in a player's head where you really get to know the ins and the outs of your opponent?
Well, in a player's case, throughout the year, in today's game, there's not that, you know, they call it rivals, but they don't play enough against each other to really hate each other.
Yeah.
When we played against St. Louis back, you know, we would play two exhibition games, home and away. We would play like 12 games against each other, 6-6, or, you know, it was unbelievable amount of games that throughout the season that we played against each other, and then we always played them in the playoffs. And so year over year, you get that, just that, you know, dislike for your opponent. And you know, the Blackhawks have a little bit of that, and the Blackhawks and Blues have a little bit of that, and I think as that series gets on, someone will get underneath your skin. Andrew Shaw will get under under their skin. And certainly Jonathan Toews, he's such a competitor. He'll lead the way. He'll will his way to winning this series and get under the skin of those guys. And that really is the who's going to take the stupid penalty. Who's going to get frustrated early and lose their focus. And I don't see the Blackhawks doing that. I think they're a seasoned playoff team, and they know, you know, don't get too high, don't get too low, and just go out there and win the game.
And you talk about our captain, and his nickname has been Captain Serious, but Jonathan Toews can really turn it on and get under their skin when necessary. Because I remember earlier this season, he got into a little scuffle on the ice, and everybody was really shocked. But it did what it needed to do and sparked the team. He knows what to do and when to do it. What a great captain.
Oh, you know, we've talked about it in the past. He is just such a wonderful young man, and he's matured beautifully, and you know, his game is so perfect, and he plays both ends of the ice perfect. He's a great leader. He brings his A game into a playoff series like this. You'll see Jonathan just step it up a notch, and he has done a marvelous job, and he's had his sidekick doing a pretty good job alongside him, too, as Patrick Kane has just he's had a fantastic year, and he's wonderful, wonderful to watch. I think he's the best player in the NHL. He's the best player in hockey right now, and they will have to really watch, Jonathan and Patrick Kane and Panarin and all of our stars, because they'll be coming out to play.
And what record is Kaner, the first American to hit?
He's the first American to lead the league in scoring.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great year. He's much stronger physically and mentally for this year's Stanley Cup playoffs. I cannot wait. I'm very upset that he is not going to grow out the mullet for the playoffs, because seriously, that's why I got into hockey so much, because I love the mullet.
Yeah, the mullet. You know, business in the front, party in the back.
And it was Grant Mulvey, Bill's best friend. Can I just say it was a pleasure watching you in the old timers game. That's not what they call it. It was the alumni.
Never the old timers.
No, but
Wendy.
I got confused because it was like there are so many 22s. You know, so I'm watching you, and all of a sudden Jamal Mayers is there, and then there's a couple other number 22s. So I got a little confused there, Grant.
Well, Wendy, it was so funny because I had a colleague of mine I invited to the game, and he has a 9-year-old son, and he told him, you know, he was sitting in the stands, and he told him that Mr. Mulvey wears number 22, and you know, the first line goes out, and there's Jamal Mayers skating around, and this little boy says, Daddy, Mr. Mulvey is a really good skater. He really is fast. And so then, you know, eventually I got out on the ice, and he said, there's Mr. Mulvey. Oh, Mr. Mulvey's not that fast.
Oh, that's not
and
good.
And it's the all-stars, you know, not the old-timers. But I said that respectfully.
As a 9-year-old, honesty would say, you know, Mr. Mulvey, you're not as good as the other 22 on the ice. But it was great, and the Minnesota people did such a marvelous job. And I was just talking to my pal here that works for the St. Louis Blues, Bruce Affleck, and Bruce was mentioning they're already planning for the Winter Classic next year that's going to be held right here at Busch Stadium, and it's going to be held on January 2nd. And as anybody knows, in St. Louis, it could be 70 degrees, it could be 30 degrees here, but I know St. Louis will do such a marvelous job with the Blackhawks and with the Blues, and there's going to be an alumni game, and hopefully I'll be in, you know, be able to make the team and enjoy another wonderful Winter Classic.
Oh, absolutely. Grant, we're all looking forward to tonight's game and the Blackhawks having a successful run throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs and into the finals, and it's always an honor to talk to you. Thanks so much for spending time with us.
Thank you, Bill, my best friend.
You're my best friend.
Yeah, Wendy, it's always great to listen to both of you on, you know, the morning and the afternoon drive time. I love it. And so keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Grant. Go Hawks.
Yeah, go Hawks.
Thanks, Grant. Take care.
He's so sweet. Well, I wish I had him as a best
friend. Well, you signed up too late.
Called him an old-timer.
Yeah, that's not going to get you any points. It will not. All right, a break, some news, more show, a lot coming your way next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Special thanks to Grant Mulvey, Bill Leff's best friend in the whole wide world.
Whole wide world.
I got to tell you, I really love and respect the way he plays along.
I don't understand. What do you mean by plays along?
Well, I just think it's really cool that he also admits to being your best friend.
Well, sure, wouldn't you? That's a high honor. Not just anyone could be my best friend. I chose Blackhawk great Grant Mulvey. We chose each other.
That's how best friends happen.
That's right.
It just kind of happens.
Do a buddy picture this summer. We're thinking about doing a picture where we get in a Volkswagen and we just drive cross country and solve crimes.
Have you run this past him?
Not yet. I'm waiting.
You know, he's so sweet. He probably
would do it. He would shoot it.
And, you know, you can't create chemistry. And I wanted to mention that, you know, Patrick Kane and Artemi Panarin, it's like hockey is the universal language to them. Usually it's like love is the universal language.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't communicate only on the
through
ice.
Love, you mean?
Well, they have
that
love.
That would be strange.
Panarin doesn't really speak much English.
No,
he is learning
any.
More, of yeah. course. But just the magic those two have, I cannot wait until game time tonight.
We're all looking forward to it. We're hoping for good things. All right, a quick break. Steve will give you the news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks very, very much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder, along with Dane Neal. You know Dane. He's the host of the Dane Neal Show on WGN+. Has a great website, accessappetite.com. Dane, nice to see you. How are you? Everything good?
Oh, it would help if I turned your mic on. Go
good
ahead.
To see you guys again.
Thank you very much. You have brought somebody with you.
Well, not alone. You know, rarely do I come without extra things with
sure.
me, you know, bearing gifts.
He comes
and all
bearing
that.
People.
Yep.
Bearing people, and also those people have to have, you know, goodies attached to them typically. And yesterday, because I know Wendy was upset, she was almost inconsolable when we first came in the studio, saying that she had missed National Grilled Cheese Day.
Yesterday was National Grilled Cheese Day. As Wendy will tell you, I took half of the day off.
In honor of National
Grilled Cheese Day.
Well, it's
yeah.
one of those things where, whether it's at penitentiaries or at the bus
the
stop.
School
or whatever,
cafeteria.
There's all those kind of, it's the blue flu, right?
Yeah.
Where people are just calling in for the cheese.
The penitentiary.
Yeah.
Oh, can you call in blue flu?
Well, that's where it's an issue. You know, if it's
I can't come into jail today. I have, it's National Grilled
if
Cheese
Day. If kids
call
it sick to, like, kidney shoes, it's not a big deal. But
right.
when there's no one to guard the imprisoned.
Sure.
yeah,
it's a problem.
But, if, you know, one of the things that if people get out of, I don't know why we're doing this, out of prison, right, the first thing they're going to go for is cheese and a grilled cheese. We've got Ken Miller. He's in here. He's one of the co-founders of Pastoral Artisan Cheese. You know him over at the Chicago French Market, all the great stuff that they do and the other restaurants they have. And so he's going to give us a window, an insight into the mysterious but always delicious world of cheese.
Right. Hi, Ken.
Hi
there.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
You would imagine that this is the easiest thing in the world to make, grilled cheese, but some people just have a knack for it and can pull it off way better than others.
I think so. I think we all grew up loving it, that little treat that mom would make us with those plastic wrap singles, a slice of Wonder Bread.
Didn't they melt well, though?
Oh, man, it was good. That ooey-gooey flavor. But I think that as adults, I think we can learn to make a slightly better grilled cheese. And I know, Wendy, that you said that you make a great grilled cheese.
I do, but I do it the traditional way. And I always loved grilled cheeses. And when I was little, I wanted to make my own grilled cheese sandwich. I asked my brother to help me. He was busy playing. So I did it myself, and I buttered the bread, and then I put the cheese on it, and I didn't know you put the butter side down on the skillet.
Ooh,
so
yeah,
I learned
yeah,
so the hard way.
Greasy, yeah.
But after that, it's like I make you just golden brown. You got to cover them so the cheese melts in the middle. And Munster is a great grilled cheese.
Munster is a great melting cheese. And I think it's one of those first things that we all learn to cook. You know, it's that simplest thing that very often our parents allow us to do. But I think that, you know, we can move beyond that plastic wrap single and really create some other great things.
That's great that you mentioned that. And Wendy, have you let the kids like start to make their own grilled cheese? Because my kids are still, they're young. They're at still the toast level, and it's mm-hmm. still a little afraid. Of course,
Mine are just microwave level. Hot Pockets or Mom.
But that's neat that you branched out from the Munster into Munster from the Kraft single, because you know, you just think of kind of the regular yellow cheese or like a little
American
bit of Swiss
cheese. Yeah.
But as a guy who's, you know, cheese centric, like, do you guys do all sorts of exotic cheeses with?
I like to really play around with using a lot of different cheeses. And one nice thing about, you know, being at Pastoral is we've got, you know, around 150, 160 different types of cheeses in the case. So not only do my partner and I like to play around with different types of melting cheeses, but our whole staff really gets into it. So they really geek out on figuring out what cheeses work and you know, go through a lot of eat a lot of grilled cheeses or eat a lot of melting cheeses and find out what works and doesn't. It is a tough gig.
Sure.
You know, there's some failures, but you know, failure is still tasty.
Yeah.
I am in love with brie cheese and fig preserves that find. So I would try that on a grilled cheese with fig preserves. Could you do that?
Yeah, I think you absolutely could do that. You're going exactly in the direction that I would recommend on a grilled cheese is don't just stick with just a cheese and bread sample. Get something sweet in there, like you said, on that fig spread. Or in the case of something I brought here today, I've got a shallot jam that sort of has a little bit of heat from the shallots and onions, but then also has a little bit of sweetness.
Because they were caramelized?
Because they were caramelized down, yeah. So you get a little sweetness, a little tanginess to cut through that rich fattiness that if you're going to go with something, a cheese that is a little bit more adventurous and stinky, yeah, then, you know, you need something to balance it.
Right.
Don't be afraid of stinky cheese.
No. Playoff beard bacteria, adventurous and stinky. It's,
right, it all ties in, doesn't it? What about a variance in the bread, too? You want to find some cheese that pairs well with the bread. It's that you're not just using, no offense to the Wonder Bread people, but you can go a little more exotic than that.
I think you got to step beyond the just that straight, plain, white bread that we all grew up on.
Yeah.
I recommend like a sourdough bread.
Oh, delicious.
Would be really good. I've got
the
some sourdough baguette here today. I think something with a nice crust on it.
Yeah.
So that you have something meaty to bite through.
Yeah.
I would also recommend even a whole grain bread. Something that, you
that's
know,
good,
has some nuttiness to it. So mm-hmm. add in something that has whole grains or seeds into it. Add that in. Then you add in like a fig jam that Wendy talked about, so that you get a layering of flavors. I think that's really the best thing here.
What about cheddar, bacon, and tomato? Does that count as a grilled cheese? No, I'm serious.
I don't have a grilled cheese without tomato in it, personally. I just always feel like, and that sort of is playing along the idea of the fig jam or what I said on the shallot confit, is that you do something that has a little bit of acid in it. I mean, so for me, you do the grilled cheese and tomato soup. What was better than that? So for me,
yeah,
I put the tomato in it and skip the soup.
Right.
Well, see, but that's good to know that there's not set rules and that you can kind of branch out beyond the cheese and it still maintains its legitimate grilled cheese status.
Absolute comfort food at its best. It's just, I think we, as your palate grows up, as you grow up, you can certainly be a little bit more adventurous. And I mentioned earlier, the stinky, don't be afraid of stinky cheeses,
right,
and grilled cheese, because a lot of times the stinky ones are the ones that are the best melters too.
And then when you brought, of course, the butter, that's so essential and being able to get that crust on the outside. Is there any kind of alternatives that you guys use for the, you know,
I absolutely, there is an alternative that I recommend, and that's use mayonnaise. Skip the butter and use mayonnaise.
You shocked Wendy.
I know.
I hope you're happy,
Wait
Ken.
A minute.
Wendy's shocked.
So mayonnaise is really just oil and egg yolk, right? So it's just fat. So it actually will brown up even better. So that golden toast that you were talking about.
You have
that
changed my life.
Breaking
put
new ground.
Mayonnaise on there. You will be so happy with the way that is.
Look at the smile on your face.
I'm writing myself
I've
a
never,
note right
I've
now
never
because
seen this before.
I never would have cooked with mayonnaise.
Yeah.
You know, you want the
it really
oily.
It adds a richness and it toasts the bread so beautifully.
Yep. It's Bill and Wendy. Dane Neal is here from the Dane Neal Show over on WGN Plus and AccessAppetite.com. And then Ken Miller, the co-owner of Pastoral. We've not talked about wine pairings or chocolate milk pairings yet, so we'll get to those next. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to jump in. It's WGN.
Dane Neal is here, and you can find his podcasts on WGNplus.com and anywhere else your favorite podcasts are sold.
Just go to wherever your favorite is, and then we hope that we'll be found there. We've got Ken Miller in studio when it comes to all things cheese. The people, he and Greg over at Pastoral, do it and have been doing it right for such a very long time. And we think of cheese as just kind of these different avenues of general awesome. You know, everybody likes, I don't know if anybody
cheese
doesn't
is
like
the
cheese.
Best food ever invented.
Yeah, and it's so
ever.
It's so different.
Amen.
It's so diverse. But I guess there is number one, a day to appreciate the whole raw milk day, and then also a little bit of controversy, right, with this whole raw milk cheese situation.
Can I just say I don't know what raw milk is? I know unpasteurized, but I doesn't know what that means.
What does it mean?
And I was in a store and I wanted to get some cheeses and I saw a little sign on there that said raw. And so I wouldn't get them.
But good point, Bunny, and it's good that it isn't one of those WWF kind of raw like dairy sponsorship events, right? It's so totally separate.
Not a John Cena production. No.
Thank God.
So real simple. Raw milk is milk where the milk has not been pasteurized. So when we get a gallon of milk at the grocery store, that is pasteurized. That means it has been heated above a certain temperature so to kill off what's perceived as any bad pathogens. So generally, we do not drink in the U.S. any raw milk as a broad stroke, okay? Mm-hmm. You can, if you maybe live on the farm, you maybe drink a little milk directly out of the cow or the sheep or the goat, whatever you're milking.
Just directly out of it?
Sometimes no. Or freshly, you know, freshly milked, you may drink it. And so when the milk has come directly from the animal, we'd call that raw milk. It's been not been cooked. So all the milk that we generally drink is pasteurized.
When because it lasts cheese, longer on
well,
a shelf?
Well, it helps
because...
a little bit on longevity, but it also is believed to kill off any bad pathogens that might be in the milk. The problem is it also kills off what is believed to be very good pathogens, the flora. So there's a lot of different microbiology going on, or microflora going on inside the milk.
I'm a I'm gut girl. I take probiotics.
Right. So when you talk about your probiotics, right? So there's good flora and there's bad flora, right? And so when you heat up the milk to a certain temperature, you're potentially killing off both. So exactly in that line there, when you are making pasteurized cheese, you can also be – not only could you be killing off the bad, but you could be killing off the good. And a lot of that good flora also develops a lot of the flavor profile of many cheeses. So that it is – there are many traditional cheese-making techniques where the cheeses were historically always made as raw milk. So a lot of your cheeses in Europe would be that way.
Ken, Louis Pasteur is on line 3, furious at everything you've just said.
Exactly.
Not happy with you right now.
And I probably shouldn't say this, but the blue and blue cheese is something that is probably not that desirable for people. But I love blue cheese. I can't get enough of it. But part of what makes cheese flavorful is maybe sometimes that fermenting or something. Is that true?
And exactly. So all those flavors that you're getting, be it in the blue cheese or on the rind of the cheese, that is all part of these beautiful micro colonies of bacteria that are on the cheeses.
Is there any danger, though, in eating the raw product? There could possibly be some danger, maybe.
There could be danger. It is certainly advised, women that are pregnant are always advised by their doctors to stay away from raw milk cheese.
Right.
But the other dangers of that could be coming from cheese, let's say, for instance, Listeria would be one of the big dangers. Listeria is not killed in the pasteurization process.
Right.
So that is, you know, something that isn't solved by that process. So that's sort of a different issue where if you are buying cheeses from good cheese-making processors, as we try to do, as we always make sure we do, you're staying away from that issue. The main thing is, for women that are pregnant to stay away from, generally are advised to stay away from raw milk cheeses.
I think the thing to do, and Dana said this before, is check with any physician before ingesting any cheese. You always want to have a physician sign off.
And before you cut the cheese. Yes.
It is ultimately a personal decision, but it's also something that is a long-time traditional production method that we have been eating raw milk cheeses for centuries. Remember the pasteurization, Louis Pasteur, is a fairly modern in development.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a representation of a traditional cheesemaking process. And also here in the U.S., one thing that is a misconception is that raw milk cheeses are illegal in the U.S. And that
illegal?
Is not true. That is not true.
Wow.
Why would they put big signs saying raw cheese if they were illegal? You'd think they'd try and do it under the table.
Exactly. Black market raw milk cheese. No, U.S., we have to age our cheese. The cheese needs to be aged for at least 60 days before we can sell it if it's raw.
Oh.
The idea being that any bad pathogens that might exist in the cheese would have died off by that point.
One of the things that I wanted, and it's a luxury to have you here to answer this, is the whole cave age cheese. Because caves, you think of them as kind of maybe cool, fun places.
Sure.
Bats hang out. But you don't necessarily think of them as great, like, cheese locations. Now, are there modern day cave equivalents, or do we still have to go take our cheese to the cave if we want it aged properly?
There's a little bit of, you can have some both of that. Sometimes, very often somebody will say, we age our cheeses in a cheese cove. They'll try to be really fancy.
Really?
They'll cove. They'll get very fancy on that. And there, if you go and inspect and see what they have, their cheese cove is really a walk-in cooler.
Cooler.
Is there a vase in their cove?
There are are truly cheese caves that are developed. Matter of fact, one of the cheeses we have here today, the Oma, is aged in caves up by Jasper Hill Cellars up in northern Vermont. And that is, and there are other cheeses, even like the Pleasant Ridge Reserve I have here today, that is done in a cheese cave that has a certain humidity and temperature environment to allow the bacteria to grow properly.
And that's a bat's milk cheese, I'm guessing, isn't it? Primarily?
Bat's milk.
Is it? Good.
No. They don't have, well, I don't know. Maybe they do, but.
Truffle cheese is really good. I've had that. I love it.
Truffle cheese is fantastic.
Bill.
And I have one question, because we are slowly running out of time. When you get brie cheese or a soft cheese, what is the soft cheese you've brought today?
This is called Oma. It's a cow's milk cheese. It's washed rind from the Von Trapp family cream brie.
The Von Trapp family from Sound of Music?
And that, from Sound of Music.
Wow. No, I don't like
and
it
And the
anymore.
Oma, grandma in German, is for Oma Mary.
Really?
Yeah, so this is some
celebrity cheese.
This is celebrity cheese. Yeah, it's literally made of the Von Trapp family.
So can you eat the rind, I guess, of it? Like
I just
on
had
brie
16
and...
pieces going on 17.
But like even with brie, and I noticed this Oma, there is a heel on it or whatever.
Right. Yeah, the rind.
Can you eat that?
Absolutely. And if we always say at the store is, we'll tell you if something is not a natural rind. Maybe there, because some cheeses have like a waxy rind on them. So I wouldn't eat the wax. I mean, it's not going to hurt you. It's food safe.
But it doesn't taste good.
But it doesn't taste good. So if it doesn't taste good, you don't eat it. Only eat it if it tastes good. But otherwise, you need everything.
One of the really cool things is all the cheeses that Ken brought here today and that you guys are enjoying and that we're talking about are going to be available on the 30th over at Pastoral's event. And before you get out of here, like, let people know how they can experience all that is. And then some of the James Beard Award winning chefs are going to be with you.
Exactly. So on April 30th, we're going to be hosting the Artisan Producer Festival over at the Chicago French Market. We're going to have about 90-plus producers of all the cheeses and wines and beers, everything that we sell at Pastoral, as well as in the French, all the things that you can get of every day at the Chicago French Market. To highlight some of the items that we sell at Pastoral and at the French Market, we've got 4 James Beard Award-winning chefs who are going to be doing cooking demonstrations as part of our stage program.
And is it free? Is it open to the public?
Open to the public, free. It's we do ask for a $5 donation going to a couple of great local charities. One is Purple Asparagus, which helps educate local school children on food. But it's a great open to the public free tasting event from 11 to 3 on Saturday, April 30th.
And the website for Pastoral?
Is pastoralartisan.com.
If you're in a pinch and you need a quick grilled cheese, it does work to toast your bread, put some American cheese in between it, and microwave it for about 7 seconds so the cheese melts. That's a really quick, kids out the door, dying for something to
eat. Nice.
But you got to toast
the
bread.
Can't go wrong. That's the key, is toasting the bread.
They're looking at me in shock and disbelief. I'm just saying sometimes you're in a hurry.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Ken, great to meet you. It's Ken Miller from Pastoral. And, of course, Dane, his website is accessappetite.com. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you being here. Kim has the news next, and then more show coming your way. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, it's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and I can't, people are just so mean.
Why
via
is
texting,
somebody mean?
312-981-7200. I just want to know why moms can't mind their own business.
What, did a mom say something or do something new? What happened?
Well, yes, I was talking about having McDonald's, which I have gotten my kids. Yes, they eat McDonald's because, you know what, I think a lot of kids eat McDonald's. Not every day, not every meal.
Right.
It says, way to go, Wendy. Bread and fake cheese. I don't use fake cheese.
You are you using real cheese now?
That's I use good. Wisconsin cheese.
Okay, good.
McDonald's and pizza, all great for children with challenges of ADD. Way to feed their brains and help them feel the best they can, Mom. Jeez, come on. I bet that we could all find other moms that do things the way that we don't do them. So does that mean it's wrong?
How do you know that was a mother who sent that?
I can tell.
By what?
There was a little emoji of a pointing,
a
wagging
scolding finger.
Finger.
Was there a scolding finger emoji on there? Is this to say? Yeah.
You know, people have to stick together, and if it's like you have a better idea for somebody, maybe here's an idea, or you do it differently than me, you're stupid. Aren't there other radio stations for that? You don't believe what I believe, so you're wrong and stupid.
Yeah. Don't let it. You can't let it get to you. Don't let it get to
you. No, we read all these texts, and I mean, I take the good with the bad, and I giggle at most of them because these listeners are so funny.
You take the good, you take the bad. The facts of life. I tell you that all the time. I want to quickly say goodbye to something that played a role in my life There was a restaurant. I wanted to do this when Dane was here, but we didn't have a chance to. You know what happens when it's grilled cheese week? Everything just goes haywire.
He can come back if he wants, if he's still here.
He's still in the building, Dane. Please come back. Report to the studio.
Baby, come back.
Baby, come back. There was a restaurant in Evanston that had been there for 44 years, and it was called Dave's Italian Kitchen. And this story, by the way, I thought was just personal to my family and myself, but as it turns out, I saw it on two different news broadcasts last night as I was switching around. They paid tribute to this restaurant for 44 years, Dave's Italian Kitchen. They were in four different locations. They kept finding bigger, better spaces, so every time there was a chance, they would move their restaurant to a bigger, better location. And it was extremely affordable, and they had an incredible array of Italian food. Everything I ever had there was really good. Over the last couple of years, they amassed an incredible wine selection and a great beer selection. Part of their clientele was Northwestern students. The other half was just families who would go there. And it was always great. And then the other day, they just decided on a lark, enough of this. 44 years is plenty. And they didn't tell any of the customers who had been coming that they were closing down. The part I don't like is they didn't tell the wait staff. I think if you're working at a restaurant and it's your livelihood, you kind of need to know if your restaurant is closing. They didn't tell anybody. There was just a sign on the door thanking everybody for their patronage and saying we're closed forever. But I'm going to miss it tremendously. We would order in or do takeout from them about once a month, every 3 weeks, something like that. And it was a fun restaurant.
Well, something obviously bad happened.
I can't figure out what, though.
Well, because they posted something. Dave's Italian Kitchen operated in Evanston more than 44 years, as Bill mentioned.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly closed Monday. No advance warning was given to customers or employees. A message on the restaurant's website related the news. We're closed forever. Thank you.
How final does that sound? Just the word forever being in there. I guess you have to. To let people know, because if it were me, it's like, oh, they're
on vacation.
They'll come back.
Well, this, according to the ChicagoTribune.com, Nick Kindlesberger, reporter over there, attempted to reach out to owners Dave and Ellen Glatt for comment, and we'll update if we hear anything. Dave Glatt left this comment on the restaurant's Facebook page, and I quote, "Sorry, I can't share serious thoughts now. It's just too soon."
Oh, so something happened. It's just, I'm sure you have places like this where you go with some regularity. And
Enzo's
in your head,
Pizza in Brookfield.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, did Enzo's close or are
they
still?
Yeah, it was all of a sudden, it was like, this was many, many years ago, but it had been a mainstay in Brookfield on Ogden Avenue for so long. And there was a little sign that said, closed due to illness in Italy. So I figured, okay, they went
somebody's
to see
relative,
their relative.
Right.
And then they never reopened. So then, you know, my heart breaks because then it's like, this is terribly tragic.
Sure.
I get
sad. You don't want to be selfish and think, my loss in this is I don't get to eat at this restaurant anymore.
Best pizza ever. Paper thin. So good. But, you know, then you come to the reality that something really terrible has happened.
Sure.
Because look, at 44 years, Dave's Italian Kitchen has been running. Dave and Ellen Glatt. Dave was the Dave in Dave's Kitchen.
Dave is Dave. The last restaurant they had, this is a testament to how good the food was at Dave's Italian Kitchen. The last restaurant they had, not the one that just closed on Monday, but their other location, had the worst atmosphere of any restaurant I've ever been in. There were no windows anywhere. Once you went inside, that was it. You didn't get any windows. There were crumbs all over the place. I know I'm really not selling it as a great place to eat.
You're not exaggerating. I've been there.
You know what I mean, right?
Yes. It was in a basement, basically.
Yeah.
But we go there all the time because my sister used to live nearby. I loved it. I'm really sad to hear that they closed.
Doesn't that say something, though, Kim, about the quality of the food where you look around and
you don't care. Right?
I don't think they vacuumed this since Lyndon Johnson was the president. Please get a vacuum.
And you won't eat my food? Seriously?
There were no dogs in the kitchen there.
Oh, my God.
Every time I'd go in, I'd look in the back. There's no dogs back here? All right, I'll eat here. Sometimes if you were really hungry, you could just pick the crumbs off the carpet and wait until your food got there. It actually worked to your benefit.
It was like you were at home is what they were going for.
I brought a friend of mine there. My friend Jeff lives in California, and he and his girlfriend were in town, and we went there. And he looked around and he goes, "Are you mad at me?" And I go, "No, why am I mad at you?" And he goes, "Really? This is Chicago." And I go, "I know. Wait till the food comes. You'll totally get it. You'll see what I mean."
And it was pretty inexpensive. I was looking at the menu.
It's very inexpensive. And they had, like I said, they had high-end wines and beers that usually, like another restaurant that would have this quality of wine selection or beer selection would charge you double or even triple, but you could get looped on $1.85 if you wanted to.
And there's something there for everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And very, I don't know how old this menu is, but it was open there on their menu, Dave's Italian Kitchen, open almost every day at 4.
Right.
So that kind
of fluctuated a little bit. Right. They had the work ethic of, if we get there at 4, we'll open at 4. It might be a little later.
And they have all these like different purple kale you can have with some
in
of your
things. In case Dave Ennett comes by.
Right.
Surprise visit from Dave Ennett.
Bolognese, carbonara, all these different.
Oh God, everything.
Does that sound good?
Everything.
Oh, my God. Lasagna con amore. Lasagna with love.
They had lasagna with love on the little side order of love if you wanted it.
How great is that?
Yep. Spaghetti carbonara with nice pieces of bacon in there. Nice, thick pieces of bacon. All gone.
That's so
sad. How can
sad.
They do that to us?
5% cash discount. Good old American currency only.
That I forgot about that. If you paid in cash, you got a 5% discount just because they didn't have to run your credit card.
And they're big Doors fans.
They do like the door. They did like the Doors.
You know
why?
Well. On the menu at the bottom, it says break on through to the other side for more great homemade food. So you'd flip it over.
Yep.
Oh, yep. My God. I love these people. Please come back. I've never been.
You didn't get a chance to visit them. It's very upsetting. All right. We'll take a quick break.
Can I just say fresh lemonade, but in parentheses, no free refills.
Yeah, you don't get free refills on
soda,
lemonade.
Yes, but not,
not
on the
lemonade.
Raspberry Italian soda
no.
Or the fresh lemonade. No free refills.
Maybe that was their downfall. Almost maybe that's what cost them.
Open almost every day.
At 4 o'clock.
I love that.
Nearly every day. We'll take a quick break, then more show. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. In the second half of the show, which is later from 1 to 3, we will get a visit from our friend Steve Dale. Noted pet expert Steve Dale will be by. If you have any questions about pets, he'll be happy to answer those questions for you. That happens at 2:35. And then also, there was a relationship thing that we were going to discuss. Do you remember what that was? I don't remember exactly what that is.
Yeah, don't read the texts of mean moms.
Is that what it is?
No, 5 things done differently in healthy relationships.
Nah, that's it.
Because there is a way I don't do any of these things.
Oh.
Yes, I do. Actually, surprisingly, there are 5 things that people do in a healthy relationship that maybe you're not doing in yours and maybe you're having some issues. So we'll discuss those.
We might end up helping somebody.
We're kind of like Dr. Joyce brothers.
Yeah.
You're a guy, you can be the brother part. I'll be Dr. Joyce.
All right. That'll be fair. I don't know if you saw this ad. This is from Match.com, but not Match.com here in the United States. They're worldwide now. So in England, they also have Match.com.
Are you on it?
Yeah, I'm on the one in England.
Hello. Is that all you type?
Yeah, I do.
Do you have teeth?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
That's what... Hello. Oh. Do you have teeth?
Right. That's my question for any potential matches. They have put an ad up that is upsetting some people. Here's what the ad is composed of for Match.com. They put this in the London subway system, or do you say tube system if you speak English, or the original
English?
Is it
the tube?
Yeah, they say the tube instead of the underground train. They just call it a tube or the tube. All right, so the ad is a person who looks a lot like, I know this is an obscure reference, but I'm prone to those, Louise Lasser. Remember the
she
woman
played
from,
Mary Hartman, yeah. Mary Hartman, red hair, pony. She kind of looked like the Wendy's girl.
Yeah.
Bangs.
Yeah. Yeah. Former wife of, do you know who she was married to? She was married to somebody famous for a while.
I think I do know it, but it has slipped my mind. Give me a hint.
Woody Allen.
Was it Woody Allen?
Yeah. Very good. All right. So there's a picture of a woman. And what you see is you see her eyes and you see her bangs and her nose. And what is apparent on this woman is she has a lot of freckles. There are freckles all over the bridge of her nose and underneath her eyes. A striking woman, but she has a lot of freckles. And the ad says, if you don't like your imperfections, someone else does. Get 3 days of free service at match.com/tube.
Let me guess. Somebody with freckles is irritated
with
this. A
lot of people with freckles are irritated.
You know what?
What?
There's a model. I was just reading about her that she lets her freckles show.
Yeah.
But most people, especially like if you're a model or you're talking about makeup and promoting that,
mm-hmm.
you cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not imperfect, but they call it a skin imperfection. I have broken capillaries on my face.
Play those up.
But I could. It is an imperfection, but to me, it's me. So right. I could, you know, say it loud, say it proud, and show right. my roadmap. I was the first Google Maps on my face.
People would come up to you and they go, I need to get to Itasca. What's the easiest way? And you just show them.
I'd put a dot where Itasca was and where they were coming from.
And I'm kidding, of course. Who needs to go to Itasca? It's just a joke.
Now you're going to piss off people in Itasca. So you can't say anything anymore.
But I can't speak for everybody, but I have always found freckles to be attractive.
Me too. I love them. I wish I had them.
I really do. I think there's something.
I'm going to put fake ones on.
With a Sharpie?
Yep.
With a red Sharpie?
Orange.
It says Match.com is catching fire on Twitter this week for an ad that is quite offensive to the freckle-faced populace. That's what they asked to be called, by the way, the freckle-faced populace. The ad, which was posted in London tube stations, features an up-close photo of a model with freckles and red hair, and the caption, as I told you, reads, if you don't like your imperfections, somebody else will, and then it's followed by an offer for a free 3-day trial. Understandably, it says, passersby were not amused at calling freckles and red hair imperfections. The UK's Advertising Standards Authority received a half a dozen complaints, Wendy. I told you.
That's not that many.
The country has come
six.
To a standstill. If you thought England was upset about the Panama Papers scandal, wait till you see how they react to this. They're closing down that giant Ferris wheel that you see in every movie that's shot in England
yeah,
now.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. It says, here's what a Twitter user says. You think you need to rethink your latest campaign. There's nothing wrong with freckles. And it's accompanied by a man flipping off the picture of the woman with freckles. The ad, actually, not the woman with freckles, but the ad itself.
I'm more offended that the ad shows a girl who looks to be underage, in my opinion.
Oh, are you reading her as being underage?
Yeah.
I don't see it that way. Really? Do you?
She looks like very young to me.
Well, remind me of this with freckles, because I don't have them, and I don't think anyone in my family really does.
You
but
have to
do
be
they,
fair complected for the most part.
But do they dissipate as time goes on,
no.
or do they intensify? Do they get more prominent as you get older?
It just depends on what kind of freckles you have. I did have some freckles on my nose when I was younger, just a few, and I bet it was like sun damage.
Because I've seen, like, when I think of people who have them, and like that I've known throughout my
life, they don't go away.
But it tended to be kids that had them, and I don't remember.
Well, kids grow up. Here's a weird thing.
No, but that's what I'm asking. Is I know they grow up, but then the freckles just—they're
there.
They are still there.
It's you know, like a birthmark or something. It's like a bunch of melatonin or
You can do it.
I think
melcarmazine.
Melcarmazine.
Yeah, he could be involved in that, too.
Mel Cooley, I bet, has something to do with
melanin.
This.
Melanin. Isn't that what's in your skin to cause?
I think
cause
a lot of kids have freckles that fade.
They do
really?
Fade, don't
yeah.
they?
Not this kid, though. This kid has a lot of freckles.
But
and it
the
looks
kids
like a
that
kid.
I know from my school, like from grade school who had them, I'm thinking of them as adults, and I don't remember that being an issue as they got older. So maybe for some reason your skin just somehow repairs itself? Is
I
that
had
possible?
Them growing up.
You did, and they're gone now, right, Kim?
Yeah, I mean, I still have, you know, if I'm out in the sun a lot, they'll pop out, but
yeah.
I did have them as a kid.
I like them. I'm all for them.
708 says Anne of Green Gables was hot with freckles.
Yeah. So was Wendy from Wendy's.
She's not that.
Come on.
Do you know, and we pointed this out on the show, and we were driving past a Wendy's the other day, and my son Dylan says, hey, remember her necklace? It spells out Mom, M-O-M.
Yeah. Subliminal.
And then people criticize her for her mothering
no, they
skills.
Don't. They do not. Steve Bertrand is here. He's the host of the Wintrust Business Lunch. We'll find out what he's got next. It's Bill and Wendy WGN. Thank you, Kim. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. This is part two of our show. Please listen in. Contribute anytime you want at 312-981-7200.
That's also the way to get to us via text. And we do read all your texts. Some good, some bad, but we read them.
Do any of them bother you?
I'm done. I'm a new person.
You had one bad text this morning, but you focused on it. You were so upset about one bad text.
Well, here's what it is. You know, people text you like, you're stupid. I know I'm not, so I'm like, that one doesn't hurt.
Right.
You have a muffin top. Yeah, whatever. So what? I like muffins, you know?
Right.
And then it's like criticizing my parenting skills is something, you know, we all do our best to be a good parent. And you're always going to get someone who thinks they're the cream of the crop parent.
Yeah.
And that they can say, oh, no, you're totally doing it wrong.
But wouldn't you say on a daily basis, and again, the way the texting game works is if people are happy with something, they can text that they like something, and if they're not happy with it, they can text that they don't like it. If you got like a dozen or 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 positive texts, you would still focus on the one negative
one. Well, yeah. And I don't focus on them. Just sometimes I
what would you call
it? I get, it's so funny because we put ourselves out there every day, and I do that because that's what I do. I'm exactly the same on the air as off. I'm probably a little nicer on the air.
You're a little shorter on air, too, I noticed. Did you notice that? Just a, like a half an inch shorter.
But typically, I'm the same. So if I throw something out there, it is open for people to discuss.
Right.
But I just, I want to know when people just got so mean to say, you know, oh, that is stupid. You shouldn't do it that way. No one's going to change their mind because some anonymous person says something. Again, I've mentioned with Facebook posts, if you can't, if you wouldn't say something like that to someone in person, then don't put it on a Facebook post.
Right. Here's what I've noticed, and I don't know if the internet fueled this. I don't know what role the internet played in it, but here I've noticed it on the internet, so I'll use this as an example. If you go to a website, and I do, that talks about entertainment, like about movies or television or that sort of thing. Somebody will say, and you pick the movie, just to show you that I haven't pre-thought this out, you pick the movie or the TV show. You pick it. Just any movie, any TV show, you name it.
Do you have to have seen it?
No.
The Real O'Neills.
Okay. So let's say it's a website about entertainment, and somebody will go, I just watched The Real O'Neills, and I think that it's the funniest show I've ever seen. Okay, so then you would think that that thread would all be about that show, The Real O'Neills, but it isn't. Like, the second person will attack that first person. Well, I guess you haven't seen a lot of television.
Right.
Have you, person who's trapped in a room without TV?
Right.
And then somebody will bash that person. Hey, if somebody wants to express their feelings about something, it's a free country. Give them a chance. And somebody will went, well, you're stupid. You have no idea. So almost any conversation now, instead of being about the conversation, is really a
attacking
slam.
Another person.
Yeah.
I guess that's what bothers me, Bill. It is
that
the attack.
Well, it wasn't an attack. Was it an attack?
The text I got?
Yeah.
I said that, you know, I make my kids like a good old, honest to goodness, American cheese grilled cheese. Which, I'm sorry, but you and I ate just grilled cheeses on white bread and we had American cheese in it growing up. We turned out okay. Mm-hmm. Did you have them every single day?
No.
Neither did.
Once in a while.
Neither did I,
sure.
And neither do my kids. And it's like, oh, you're giving them processed cheese and white bread. And I know there's a whole ADD connection to what you eat and in natural foods versus unnatural foods.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you know I haven't tried that? How do you know I know people who have done that completely and still have to medicate their kids? Sometimes people are just mean and they are attackful.
But
is that a word?
No, there's no such word as attackful, but that's fine. It is now. But don't you just assume any percentage of text, some will be on your side, some will be against you, and some will be somewhere in the middle. You can't get too excited about the good ones and you can't get too upset about the bad ones.
I know. Today, maybe I was going to say I'm PMSing, but no, I'm
not. It's not that. There was a guy, you know, there's a radio discussion board. You know it, right? So no matter what's going on in the world of radio or sometimes television, somebody comments and says, hey, they made a switch at this station, or how come that guy doesn't work there, or whatever.
It's the right? Same 12 people.
I don't know how many people are involved. But there was a guy on there that anytime my name would come up, it was always negative. I don't know how this guy got his job, but obviously they didn't search very far when they were trying to fill this position. Every single time my name would come up, this guy would jump in.
That's jealousy.
And it used to, well, it bothered me for a while. And then my wife said, do you know who that guy is? And I don't know who that guy is. And she goes, well then what do you care what he thinks? And then I thought about it and I went, yeah, why does his opinion bother me? It did for a while, but then I reasoned it out and I went, I don't know who that guy is.
I don't like anybody to have bad feelings about me.
But that's impossible.
I know, but I try my whole life to make them come to my side, switch over. Not that I'm right or wrong, but to, you know, just give me a chance. I'm a little rough around the edges, but you're going to love me.
But even if you were the best in the world at this, I'll use Michael Jordan as an example. I was at games. I would watch games or sometimes attend games.
He's the worst basketball player ever.
Michael Jordan, you can't be better at basketball than him, and yet I saw him get booed on occasion. So somebody didn't like the job that Michael Jordan was doing with the basketball. Doesn't that tell you that no matter how great you could be at something, somebody's going to find some fault in what you do? It's impossible to, you can't please 100% of the people. It's impossible.
I'm trying.
What percentage are you at right now?
About 13.
13%. All right. Well, there's room for improvement on that. Don't feel bad.
I'll work on it.
You got a lot of room to improve. What kind of a show do we have? Well, noted pet expert Steve Dale will be in the mix later on at 2:30. Also, some relationship help. If you think you have a good relationship, maybe you do. We can make it even better. That's coming up also. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He has all the rock and roll goodies.
Dean Richards does.
Chicago, he talked to them.
Yeah.
The induction ceremony happened last Friday night in New York. And now Cheap Trick, and that's going to air on HBO April 30th.
Right.
I want to see that.
It should be good. It should be very good. You know who my heart goes out to, Wendy, is a little boy. He's 10 years old, and his name is Toxie Andrews. And they
Toxie.
Toxie. T-O-X-E-Y, which is a name you don't hear that often. I don't think I've ever encountered anybody named Toxie before.
It's cute. Does Toxie. He have Moxie?
Yeah, he does. It says here in the story that he's overloaded with Moxie. It was his birthday party, his 10th birthday party, and his mom, Angela, decided to throw him a party, which is standard.
That's a good mom throwing a party for a 10-year-old.
Invited 21 of her son's classmates to attend the party.
Probably his whole class. You can't leave anyone out.
You don't
out.
Want to leave anybody
That's
out.
That's the new rule. You can't.
Nobody attended his party. Not a single kid. They all got invitations, 21 invites to Toxie's 10th birthday party. Nobody came.
How rude
but
is that?
It's awful. It's awful. But the story has a happy ending. Listen to this. When no one showed up at Toxie Andrews' 10th birthday party, a group of Arkansas state troopers sped over to his house to throw him a party that he would never forget.
I have a big question.
What do you want to ask it now or do you want to wait?
Well, I'm wondering how the troopers
how they found
knew.
Out? That's a solid question. That's a very good question. If I'm remembering right, this is the only birthday that I had that had people coming, Toxie said.
Oh, that's sad.
That's very sad.
Ages 1 through 9, no one came to his party?
I guess not.
Usually your first birthday party, you have all your friends bring their kids because they don't really know anybody yet.
Right.
Oh,
right.
This was my roommate at the hospital. They were in the bassinet next to me.
Right.
Yeah,
you remember the Carvers, don't you? They're here. Look, they came to your
Baby
party.
Baby boy Carver is
He's here. He's here.
He's over there at the carving station.
Here's a question I have. Your question is a good one, but my question is, does his mom know you have to put stamps on the envelopes when you send out invitations to parties? Because something horribly is going wrong with the Andrews family if they keep having party after party for young Toxie and no one's showing up.
That is so sad.
It's awful.
Didn't I read, though, that there were some that responded they would be coming? And
well, that's a similar story. That just happened
that's a different
2 months
kid?
Ago. That's a totally different kid. I remember that story, too. I guess this is a thing now where
you could be rude to your classmates.
Yeah. Toxie's mom, Angela Adams, invited 21 of her son's classmates to Toxie's birthday party. When none of them showed, none of them, Andrews was devastated, and so she went to Facebook to express her frustration. On Saturday night, I knew that no one was coming.
Oh, my God.
And I posted, this is awful.
How do you tell your kid?
Right.
Hey, remember that big party with all 21 of your classmates?
Right.
We were going to have it tomorrow, but we had to change the date. You can't
none
tell them no one came.
Awful. On Saturday night, I knew that no one was coming, and so I posted on Facebook just kind of an outcry to parents. Just please, if your kids get invited to birthdays, take them, said his mom. But it wasn't just Andrew's Facebook friends who saw this post. I guess, she says, an Arkansas state trooper heard about the post, and what ensued is the stuff that dreams are made of. On April the 4th, just a few days before Toxie's birthday bust, he was at home after school when the doorbell rang. When he went to answer it, he was shocked to find a line of state troopers and a canine named Rhino standing at the door.
What, was it a singing telegram in time for his birthday?
Yes. I was scared.
I'm sure they
you're
were
wondering,
real...
Rhino guests are coming to you.
What?
I guess you're wondering, Rhino guests are attending your birthday party.
What? Did
That's
you
why I wrote this.
No.
Super puns for lunch?
Sorry.
Well, you got to work it in, Steve. You're doing the right thing. I was scared and at the same time trying to figure out why they were here, Toxie said.
Flushed the weed down the toilet. I didn't think they saw me.
The state troopers brought Toxie a cookie cake.
Kids love the cookie cake. Just a giant cookie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a cake.
Tons of presents. Tons of presents that ranged from video games to a Razor scooter.
Holy moly.
And they played a game of basketball with the birthday boy. They showed me all the keys to the sirens and the horn so that he can, when he learns to drive, drive past the kids' houses that neglected him and just blaze the horn as loud as he can. I also got to see the cage with the dog in it and wished that my classmates were in that instead of the dog.
It does not say that.
A state trooper then talked with Toxie. As for the... That's weird that they put that in. I assume that, didn't you just assume they were there, that they talked to him?
Well, they'd have a talk with him about the kids not showing up. And
I wonder, do you think they did? Do you think they tried to make some sense out of this, going, hey, we're state troopers. We've seen it all. These kids are, they're headed towards a life in prison.
We'll see them on the other side of the handcuffs. Don't you worry about that. They'll be locked up someday. Toxie,
give us a list of the kids that didn't show up at the party. We'll keep an eye on them. We'll make sure that everything's right.
They had a little talk.
As for the state troopers who gave in big to the little boy, Toxie wasn't the only one who was beaming after the birthday visit. They made my sweet baby's day and his year, his mom wrote on Facebook. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I will never be able to repay the kindness that you showed my family today.
It's really sweet.
It is really sweet. Now, here's a weird question. Do you think that as a result of this, and this is a story that now has become, you know, fairly well known.
I'm going to answer yes, because I know what you're going to ask me.
His life is now going to be more difficult, isn't it, in school? He's going to go to school, and all the kids are going to go, oh, yeah, you have a party, and it's just state troopers you've never met instead of us.
It doesn't look like it could get any worse.
I hope not.
Well,
I mean,
it's
pretty bad
right
now.
I want to know who's paying for the troopers' time.
No, I didn't even want to think about that, Steve. I was wondering that myself. Did they do this on duty or off duty?
Well, if they had the cars and they were in uniform and the police dog, they did it on duty.
Oh, all right.
There'd not be a lot of crime in that area.
Right, in this part of Arkansas.
But I thought you were going to ask me if there are some other mothers out there that are going to post things like this and lie and say, I had a party planned for my son and no one came. How will I tell him? And then
you got a
parade of cops
and canines
coming over and dancing and giving him video games.
Wasn't there a Brady Bunch episode where they had a party for Peter Brady and nobody showed up to the party? Wasn't that a thing once?
Yeah, because we talk about it all the time. I feel like a Peter Brady party.
Right. Nobody came to his party. And then the family, they made him feel better by all attending the party. But if I'm Peter Brady, I go, well, I see you guys every day.
Yeah, it's nothing special.
Right.
The only good news about that is we got the sad Brady Bunch music during that.
Wah, 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 wah.
You're too fast.
It is. It's even slower. It's played even slower. All right. Well, happy birthday, Toxie. I'm certainly glad that the Arkansas State Troopers came through for you. Hopefully they'll do that for you and I if we ever have a party and nobody attends. That would be terrible if even the Arkansas State Troopers were like, nah, not this time. Thanks, but no thanks. I don't like them. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we have a lot more show next. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. A lot of numbers we're throwing out at you. That's the number to call us or to text us. And I found something online, 5 things done differently in healthy relationships. And, you know, we've all had our screw-ups in relationships, but some things that what healthy relationships do differently. So if you want a healthy relationship and if you feel you have one, we'll find out if this is true.
All right.
All right. The past cannot be erased.
The past with the person you're in a relationship with or the people that you were with before that person?
I would bet that.
Yeah.
Many people will tell us that we must release the past or leave the past behind us. While that is a novel idea, it's complete and utter BS. We will never forget or release the past, and why should we? It brought us here.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we have encountered, whether good or bad, was a learning experience designed to aid our evolution. People in healthy relationships haven't suddenly forgotten or released their wounds. They have transformed them. They have learned to honor their past and all it has entailed as necessary steps to take in the ladder of their personal evolution. They bring with them the appreciation for each moment and respect for where they have come from and what they have gone through into their current relationship. It adds a richness, Bill, and depth that would otherwise be lacking if we truly had an ability to push a button and drop our past down the chute.
Right.
So your past can't be erased, but are you supposed to talk about your past?
Oh, boy.
Like relationships?
I think in the early days of my wife and I being together, it would come up every once in a while. Something would come up, but it was never heavily dwelt upon. It would just come up and we, you know, whatever it was. But I always subscribe to the theory of my wife is who she is because of everything that happened prior in her lifetime. And that would certainly include before I came along. So I was
there
always.
There was a pre-Bill? Yeah. I know guys like to believe there was no one before.
No, I'm smart. I mean, I know you could put blinders on and pretend you're the first significant person in whoever your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend's life is, but the reality is
that made you who you
near
are.
Impossible. So, you know, she would tell me stories about, you know, what had happened with other guys before she met me, and you know, I was never upset about it.
But you rolled your eyes, didn't you, every time she brought that up?
No, I don't. Did I? I don't think I ever did. I will say this about her: every one of her breaks was always pretty much a clean break. You know, like, I don't know if you've ever dated anybody who, whenever they would talk about their other relationships, whenever they would tell you about the breakup, it was always really ugly, horrible stories. And Terry's weren't like that. And I always, I went, well, that's good that it always ended pretty cleanly. You know, there was no residual damage after.
Why did
that.
You think that was good? Because, like, if she ever had to dump you, it would go smoothly?
No, just because it meant that
no baggage, more or less.
Yeah, that whatever the relationship was prior to me, it kind of just came full circle and worked itself out, and they just realized mutually it wasn't meant to be. Didn't you ever date anybody who, whenever they would tell you about old girlfriends, it always ended ugly?
Yeah.
Somebody got hurt somehow.
Well, usually someone gets hurt.
Yeah, but there's different degrees of getting hurt, you know. So I remember other girls I had dated, they would tell me their breakup stories, and it's like, and then what happened to that guy? I don't know. They never found the body, and you go, oh no, what
boy.
Happened? I don't want to know anymore.
All right, Kevin, did you have something to add to that? Because you're going to be getting married.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, I think there should be an asterisk on this rule because, yeah, it's healthy to have that relationship, especially early on. But as you progress the relationship, if that conversation keeps coming back over and over, I think like that could be a red flag.
If she ever says, like, you're doing something, and she'll go, oh,
right.
This always reminds me of Mark, like, no matter what you're doing.
Or if you're getting comparisons with Pat, that's not
healthy.
Yeah,
that's not good. That's not good. But how much do you reveal anyway? And that's not something that should come up right away. Do you have a question and answer session before you get married? Because I think a lot of times once you're married, things come out more. Like, oh, I remember I was dating this guy, and he, you know, it's not something I think you talk about in an early end of a relationship.
Yeah,
is
it's
it?
Probably not best, I guess, not to bring it up a lot early.
All right. Well, they say for healthy relationships, the past cannot be erased. This one I like. And we've talked about this a lot. It's not always 50-50. Sometimes it's 80-20,
right.
And that's okay. What is not okay if it stays in this place of imbalance? So it's a fluctuating 80-20, I think a good relationship is. Don't you agree with that?
Yeah, it always, I think it depends on the circumstance, right? And,
yeah.
And it probably goes day by day. I'm sure there's times where, you know, one or two or three days out of the week, one partner is putting forth a lot more effort than the other. But it balances out, hopefully.
Right, and they say what is not okay if the imbalance becomes a part of the everyday existence, if it's always 80-20.
Right, right. There was a friend of mine who explained to me, and she was married several years before I was, that in every relationship, there is a giver and a taker. And I went, what? And she goes, think about it. Every relationship you know, one person is constantly giving and one person is constantly taking. And I thought about the people in my life, like my parents or friends of theirs or even friends of mine that were already married. And I thought the ones that were working, that rule did not apply to, that there's always a giver and a taker. Because I don't believe that. Do you think in every relationship?
Well, I don't think there should be. But again, I think there are times when one gives more than the other.
Oh, without a doubt.
And same with the, that's what it ties into.
But to
the
label,
80.
But if you're labeling, if you
oh,
go,
oh, I
see that couple
saying.
Over there, that guy's always giving and that girl's always taking. If it's always that way, that's not going to work.
That goes to me, like, that reminds me of the rule also, or not the rule, but the theory that in every couple, there's one person that's, like, going after someone out of the league, and then the other person is settling, always.
I don't like that.
No, I don't either. I don't either.
And I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah, but you bring it up a lot when there are celebrities who have surprising spouses. You bring this up a lot. Like, how did he get her?
Sometimes it shocks me, and I know that the answer is that some people are marrying for status, right? You see that, don't you?
I guess, but I just, you know, I'm an idiot. I married for love. I should have married for status money.
Well, next time you'll do that.
But I got, you know, I did it for love.
Right.
But there are people that, who did we talk to? Was it Amber Tamblyn?
With David Cross, yeah.
Yes, and you said something to her like.
Oh, that was funny.
I'll never forget this. And you can find the podcast at WGNradio.com under the Bill and Wendy Show. You said something to the effect like, okay, and a lot of people, you know, you're married to this guy that maybe a lot of people would think it's not your typical couple,
right,
or something to that, if what you said. And
right,
then what did she say? Why? Because he's older than me?
And that was, I mean,
that's
if,
not
if
what
you look
you
at them,
meant. That is so right, not what you meant.
If people aren't familiar with them, David Cross is a very funny comedian. He was on Arrested Development and Mr. Show. And Amber Tamblyn has had a series of credits, very attractive. But there is
why
about
don't
a,
you say he's very attractive? And why
he's
you're like
not,
he's so he's, funny? He's on these shows, this show, that show.
Well, because
she's very attractive.
Because to illustrate my point, if you looked at the two of them and didn't know much about them, you would say, oh, that girl and her dad seem very happy together, because he's 20-some-odd years older than her. She's young and attractive. He's older and not as attractive. You got to agree with me. He's older and he's not as attractive
not
as she is.
Not maybe in my book, but in her book, he's, you know, creme de la creme.
Really?
So she married him for status?
No, I don't think she married him for status, but in that particular instance, it seemed, and I mean, they seem to be happily married, so what do I know? But it seemed like you go, well, that's an odd pairing, you know, and it is an odd pairing. But if it's working for them, 20 years is a long time different to be different in a relationship. And I know there's plenty of people who can call and go, hey, my wife is 30 years older than me, and it's working, or my husband's 30 years older than me. I know there's exceptions, but for the most part, that's hard to pull that off, to be married to someone who's 20 or 30 years older than you.
I don't think that makes a difference.
You don't think so?
I mean, I don't know. It depends. What if you have, you don't seem like your typical 21-year-old. You seem much younger than that.
Thank you.
But really, you know, there are people that
it's,
are your same.
It's nature's
same,
healthy trinity.
There are people that are your same age that act older
oh,
than
without
you
a doubt.
Do.
There's
so
no question.
So age is just really something on a driver's license. If you two click.
Right.
You know, it might be weird if you're talking about Brady Bunch episodes and the girl you're dating is like, what is that?
Let's say this is as hypothetical could be. My wife perishes in a horrible tree fort accident.
Why do you even say that?
Hypothetically. All right. And then the next day, I come around with some girl who's 25 years old. Wouldn't you say, first of all, way too soon, Bill.
That's what I would say to you.
You got
to
wait a week, 10 days before you're dating a girl after a horrendous tree fort accident like your wife just perished in. But then when you go, well, that's not the type of girl I would have expected him to be with. She's half his age. Wouldn't there be some doubts as to what was going on there?
Honest to God, I don't think so. I'd be
you'd
like,
be all right.
Well, I would just be like, poor Bill. He's trying to get over the terrible tree fort accident. I hope they get along.
You would like, and then as soon as we left, wouldn't you say to Kevin, what the heck was going on there? What does that girl see in him?
I don't really talk about you behind your back because I just do it to your face
usually.
Oh, that's
usually true, too. All right.
We might have the audio of when we talk to Amber Tamblyn.
That.
If you have a moment, I know how personal this is. You're married to one of the funniest guys I've ever seen in my life. I love his stand-up. I love his persona in movies and television, David Cross. But I'm sure you hear this every day. It's an unlikely relationship. How did you and David Cross fall in love?
Why is it unlikely?
It's just because he's taller than you.
that's a good save there, buddy.
Yeah, I was backing away from the microphone on this one.
I think
as long as I have, been dating people, I've always gone out of my way to make sure they're at least 50 to 60 years older than me. So Dave's actually an exception. Like, he's actually the youngest guy I've ever dated. Yeah. I like them, like, in their mid-80s, sure. Like, late 90s. That's kind of my jam.
Well, I remember when you
Dave
and...
was, like, an exception.
I used to see you and Buddy Ebsen clubbing all the time, and I go, well, that's going to end up being a marriage, and it didn't, but then you and David Cross are, so good for you.
You are so lucky she played that so comedically.
I know.
And see, being married to David Cross helped her be really funny about
no
that.
No doubt about it.
Because if Absolutely. I were her, I would have reached through the phone and slapped you.
His response was perfect, though, because he's so tall.
I know.
He is taller than her.
I don't think so.
A couple inches, not dramatic, but just a few inches.
You are so lucky. All right, quick break here, 312-981-7200. We're talking about the rules of a healthy relationship and what are you doing right or wrong. It's Bill F., Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
The music snuck up on me, Wendy. You see the music sneaking up on me?
I didn't see it, but I heard it.
The rhythm is going to get me.
You are young. Heartache to heartache. We are one. From ElephantJournal.com, this woman, Laura Brown, wrote something about five things done differently in healthy relationships. And here's an interesting one. Honesty counts. And honestly, this has been the hardest part for me, according to Laura Brown. As a rather independent woman who made her own money and did her own thing for so many years, it became difficult to imagine that suddenly I was supposed to share where every penny went or had to tell my partner where I was going. My rebellious nature would kick in, and it's none of your damn business where I'm going flew from my mouth a few times. This, however, does not a healthy relationship make.
She sounds a little defensive.
Well,
doesn't she?
Well, yes, but I kind of understand that.
Well, if you're used to just doing things freely and not having to explain yourself all the time, I get it, but there is a curiosity if you're married to somebody or in a relationship and they're just going away. You kind of want to know where they're headed, don't you?
I guess, but here's the difference. Like, if I'm going somewhere, like, you know me, I miss too much information. I'll be like, okay, I'm going to the acupuncturist. I should be home about 4:45.
Yeah.
Unless I decide to go shopping, and then I'll call you and I'll be home about 6.
Yeah.
So there's no reason for Jim to ask where I am. In fact, Jim goes, aren't you going somewhere? Because I'm home so much. When you're in a healthy partnership, it's time to open up about these things, whether it's where we're headed on a Saturday afternoon or just how many new pairs of shoes we bought as we try to stuff the evidence into the closet. So honesty really counts.
Oh, without a doubt. If you don't have honesty, good luck to you.
Although Jim did tell me he filled up the car with gas this morning.
Yeah. You didn't.
It was on E. Oh. And I called him and I said, I thought you filled up the tank. He goes, oh, I didn't? I thought I did.
Oh. So he imagined that he put gas in the car. That's all
I call
right.
that the O.J. syndrome. Silence is deadly. Still ignoring your partner when you're upset with them? Don't. Please, for the love of all that is holy, do not keep up with this dangerous trend. It destroys more relationships than I can even number. Those who are in healthy long-term relationships understand that the key to anything ultimately boils down to communication, and that does include fighting sometimes.
It's better to just get it out, have it over with, do what it takes.
Because you're talking.
Yeah.
There, sometimes...
But don't you know there are some people, even though you say it's talking, there are some people that are so combative that it's not talking, it's yelling and screaming, and is that better than silence? I don't know if it's better.
In my opinion, yes, because you're at least communicating with one another. There are some times in the summer where, you know, I keep the air conditioning on, even if it's cooled off a bit, because if our windows are open and we do a lot of yelling in our house.
Oh.
And not like yelling, you're a jerk. It's just like we yell, like, hey, dinner's ready. I mean, we're a bunch of yellers. Yeah. We really are, and sometimes I don't like to leave the windows open.
But that proves my point that silence is better than yelling, because there's never been a neighbor who's gone, boy, those people next door are awfully quiet. Something must be wrong.
See, but then I would think that something's wrong.
If everyone was quiet.
I have been in psychiatrists' or therapists' offices, and, you know, like maybe we were fighting the whole way there in the car or something. Mm-hmm. And I see a family that is just sitting there like just silent and looking down at the ground and not speaking to one another. And that breaks my heart because to me, it's like they're broken. They're done.
Do you say to them, you guys should yell it up a little bit? I'd scream at each other.
No, but that just makes me so sad. And, you know, I shouldn't feel that way because maybe everything's going fine and they're just way more reserved than we are.
That could be it.
But I just feel like, in my opinion, that, you know, yelling is not good. You know, it'd be, I guess there are fair ways to fight, which someone should show me how to do it.
But at least there's some communication.
Yeah, the silent treatment. You know, everybody's life is going to be filled with tension, and it's how you handle those tension-filled moments that determines whether we continue on the road of a happy, healthy relationship or take a detour down breakup avenue. We have to be willing to talk about what's bothering us. Is it good to sometimes wait until we have cooled our jets? Sure. No one wants to have a finger in their face, and most will check out if our voice is raised. So maybe that's it. Maybe I have to cool my jets a little more.
Have your jets cooled.
How do I get that done? Do I put them on ice?
Yeah, that's your best bet, yeah.
But still, stop the silent treatment. That would really, that's one way to really...
But you know, if you're quiet, and I'm not, I know everyone's differently, but if I'm quiet, I know I'm not going to say the wrong thing.
Yeah, but then if you're quiet, I have a very bad habit, and if we called Jim right now, he would tell you the one word he hates that I say. If I have asked him a question and he hasn't listened, like maybe he's in the middle of watching a Hawks game, and perhaps even though I was talking, he didn't really know we were having a conversation. But you know, sometimes he's in the middle of something, and it's my fault too. Like I don't even say, "Hey Jim, I got to ask you something." Like sometimes I just talk.
All right.
So if I ask him a question and there's silence,
yeah.
Oh my God, we just had this
What's
morning.
What's the one word though?
Hello.
Oh,
he
if you
hates
yeah,
that.
That's the end. Yeah.
So this morning it was like, hello, goodbye. That's how we said, and then we laughed about it. But I do say that a lot because the silent treatment, man, is one way to make me go cuckoo.
I think it so depends on the personalities of the people involved and the situation. But more times than not, I'd be more inclined to just go, we're going to spend a little time not talking so that no one says the wrong thing. I know what she's saying there is, if there's no communication, then what do you have? I agree with that.
But you do have to cool your jets.
Right.
All right, and then separate but together. That is really important for a healthy relationship where you have your own interests and things together.
Right, yeah.
You know, Jim likes Star Wars.
Yeah.
I think it's okay.
You saw it the one time.
I love gardening. He likes looking at my gardening. We have to have our own things away from one another.
Oh, yeah.
Does Terry go to toy shows with you?
No.
Has she ever?
Yeah, she went once and she looked around and went, there's just a lot of junk here. And that was a long time ago.
All right, well, so those are things you can work on for a healthy relationship. Quick break, and still to come today, Steve Dale, noted pet expert Steve Dale. We'll talk pets and news coming up next, 720 WGN.
Steve, thanks. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Steve, what do you think will happen in the Dennis Hastert case? Where do you think this is headed?
Well, I think the judge clearly is going to allow some testimony at the sentencing hearing that involves sexual impropriety or allegations of that. So that expands what the sentencing might involve. Now,
remember,
the speaker's not been charged with any sort of impropriety that way.
It's the cover-up that got him in trouble.
It's a financial crime, right? It's a banking crime.
But he's apologized for some things, but that's a separate issue, correct? Will he be tried for that then?
No, the statute of limitations has expired on any potential sexual crime. But the judge may take that sort of testimony into consideration. But look, you know, he can't be sentenced for a crime he's not been convicted of, and he's not been charged or convicted of any of those crimes.
So, but he can be sentenced just in the way he went about getting the money and passing the money
out to the... Yeah, you have to report if you have large transactions.
Right.
So there's a regulation you have to report it, or that the banks do. And when they started asking about it, he altered the forms of the transactions to try to evade the attention of federal regulators, and then when he was asked about it, he apparently lied about what the money was for before
and therein
eventually
lies the
telling
crime.
The story. Right.
Yeah. Now, there's a couple of folds to this. One of them, this is a story that came out the other day, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it. This is the fact that his attorneys are arguing that his humiliation, the humiliation that he has faced, is punishment enough.
Oh, God, which, no, it is not.
Judge Judy speaks.
I'm sorry, though. He's not charged with any sex crimes.
Right. Even though this stems from alleged sex crimes, that's not what he's being charged with. As Steve pointed out, the statute of limitations is in his favor here, so he's not being charged with that. But just the audacity of him, or I guess in this case his counsel, to suggest that the humiliation that he has faced as a result of this is punishment enough. We can't punish this man any further.
Well, I think they were asking for probation.
Right.
Because he's, right. And he has undergone great humiliation.
But,
you know,
but
I mean,
if he's guilty of this, then rightfully so.
Yeah.
Right? Wouldn't
sure.
you agree?
Okay, I would agree with that, absolutely. But it doesn't take away the fact, you know, that there were statues and buildings and things named after this man. And one by one, they've come down.
They fell away.
And so there has been great humiliation. So if I'm his lawyer, you know, and it's my job to argue for the minimal sentence, that's a pretty logical thing to say.
But like, having a statue that had your name on it, having that name taken off, it pales in comparison to being molested by a trusted coach or teacher at some point.
I would think that's true. All I'm saying is that on behalf of the lawyer,
right.
If the lawyer's arguing for a lesser sentence,
right. You know, he's doing his job.
You point out at what Hastert has suffered.
What he's lost.
And he has.
All right, and Andy Richter, of course, has come out because he went to the high school in question, Yorkville High School, in the 80s.
Yeah.
And Andy Richter tweeted that he remembered a chair that former U.S. House Speaker Dennis Hastert allegedly placed in the boys' locker room with a view of the showers. And the chair was cited by federal prosecutors in a new court filing that happened on Friday. They said that he put the lazy boy type chair in direct view of the shower stalls in the locker room while he sat and watched the boys as they showered. Richter says he didn't even, I went to Yorkville High School, he says, 80 through 84. I remember this chair purportedly to keep the boys from fighting. And I
so
could,
that was the reason he would give for sitting there while they were showering. I just don't want anyone to fight.
Yeah, and Richter, whose tweet said nothing specific about Hastert, added that the chair was something he hadn't thought about in 30 years. And, of course, you'd believe that. You would. Boys fight. They whip each other with the towels. Our gym teachers used to, like, I don't know if she'd sit there and get comfortable in a negligee while watching a shower, but she would, you know, walk by with her clipboard and make
do
sure.
What? What was she checking off on the clipboard?
Making sure no one was getting, teased in the showers or whipped with the towels. And she'd be like, hey, hurry up. Come on. You got to get going here. You got your next class.
You didn't think that was weird at all? You're okay with that?
I didn't really think anything of it.
I like my own time in the shower.
Well,
I don't
so
want
do
it.
I, but there weren't the individual stalls.
Yeah. I'd get a room at the Ramada Inn or something and shower there and feel better about myself.
And there were, you know, being a girl, there would be some times where, you know, you wouldn't need a shower because it was that time.
Yeah.
Which is actually when you need a shower more.
Yeah.
But you would be excused from it.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, I remember them keeping track of it.
They kept track?
Of, you know.
Of when?
When it would come, because it's usually every 28 days, some girls in high school.
Yeah.
Some of us lucky ones in junior high, it's not like clockwork. Sometimes it's 30 days, sometimes it's 21 days.
There was a kid in our class, I will just say his name is Chris, I will not give Chris's last name, but it's Chris. And Chris asked us once, he'd go, I noticed a lot of times if somebody wants to get out of gym class, because we'd line up alphabetically. And then they would go number one, and you'd go number one. The coach would walk down the line.
What,
number
was this
two,
a Star Trek
number
tribute?
Two.
Number one to the bridge.
And if you were a girl who could not participate in gym because
of your
you're on your cycle, you would say your number and then the letter M for menstruation. So it would come to you.
Look at how Chris, cute. You figured that out.
Well, everyone knew it except apparently Chris, because he said, how come people get out? They just say M. And we go, if you don't feel like taking gym class, you just say M.
No.
So they got to Chris, and he goes, 46, M. And the coach just looked at him and goes, all right, just puts his name down in an M, and Chris did not have to have gym class that day.
You're mean.
It was me. It was everybody.
Did everybody laugh at him?
No, that's the Chris was a wrestler and a very, very tough guy. Not great with the alphabet, but everybody loved and respected Chris. And then we liked him even more because he was brave enough to say his number and then the letter M. And he got the day off, so it worked for him.
That is so funny.
And can I tell you something else that was weird about my school? At Oak Forest High School, where the pool was, we had a really nice swimming pool. And on one side of the swimming pool was the men's locker room, and on the other side was the women's locker room. And there was an office at the front part of the locker that had a window, a fairly decent-sized window, so the swim coach could potentially sit in the office and watch people swim, but remain in his office and do his work.
All right, yeah.
And it was kind of like that on the girls' side, too, for the women's swim coaches. And inside that office, the coach's office, was another window that almost always had the drape closed. Almost always. The rest of the time, the coach would just have the drape open. So potentially, if you were a girl and you wanted to see inside the guy's locker room, you could just stare at the coach's office and you could see through the first window and see the coach sitting there and the second window and seeing guys going in and out of the shower. And I would always think to myself, the girls are, they're either really great at this because there's not like a line. Like if it was the other way around, there'd be guys lined up for days. They'd be buying tickets to that.
They'd be pushing each other out of the way trying to get in the front row.
No one would ever use the pool. We would have all just stood in front of the girls' office all day. But it always bothered me. It's like, could you just close that drape while we're in here? Nah, come on. No one's looking at you. What do they care? All right.
God, you know, I'm hearing these stories now, and with one of my kids in high school, I realize how awkward high school was, but I didn't find it to be that awkward.
No?
I really didn't.
But if you knew the chance of guys just camping out in front of that office and watching you as you got dressed or went into the shower, wouldn't you be a little apprehensive? Wouldn't you be a little like, just close the drape for 10 minutes?
Yeah, but girls are a little more discreet than you guys. Yeah. And I just know going to the health club, there will be girls who will wrap a towel around themselves. Sometimes you'll see a bare butt or whatever.
Yeah.
It seems like guys are just, they'll go in the sauna completely naked.
Thing.
They'll sit on the couch and watch TV completely naked. I hear this from my husband. It's
at
not
my
like
old
I'm
health
peeking.
Club, every single time I was ever in the locker room at the former health club, not the current one, there were always, always, always guys sitting in there watching football or basketball or whatever with
like
no clothes on at all.
Like on a leather couch,
yeah.
Just butt to leather.
The weirdest thing I ever saw.
And you stick to it, first of all. So maybe put a towel down.
Wouldn't you just, like your brain would kick in immediately. I'll just put a towel on this. It'll be better for everybody. Nope.
Well, here's an idea. I would wrap a towel around my body.
Yeah, that would work too.
Because, I mean, that's what I mean. You guys are trying to peek in to look at the girls in the locker room. We tried to be discreet. Like, we would put our bras on and take them off, like, under our shirts.
Yeah, right.
There were a few girls who had fantastic racks.
Yeah.
Who would
that's
not
the technical
mind.
Term for people who aren't aware. That's how you say it, technically.
They wouldn't mind taking off their bra and just like, hey, could you hand me a towel? Like, oh, shut up. The rest of us would take our bras off underneath our gym shirts.
Right.
And then we'd put them on that way as well. You know, you hook them in the front and then turn them around.
Yep.
So we're more discreet. So there was really nothing for you guys to look at. Again, in your locker room, you guys would be walking around, like passing a football, saying, hey, you like my new watch? Sure. What time is it?
I mean,
I don't understand that.
Yeah, it's weird.
It really is.
It is so weird. I know.
And the sauna, sometimes my husband takes my youngest to the sauna at the health club.
Yeah.
Because he likes to go in the hot tub and then in the sauna. And Dylan always comes home and says, why are there naked guys in there? I said, Del, I don't know.
Just throw some trunks on.
Put your trunks on.
It takes 5 seconds.
Again, wrap a towel around yourself.
No.
I don't get it.
I have no idea. I can't even figure it out. All right, we have to take a quick break. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. More in a moment. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder, solving the world's problems.
Well, I'm just curious about this whole Dennis Hastert thing because I cannot find now where I thought his attorney apologized for some of the things that happened. Am I imagining this?
Happened within the court proceedings or happened in the past?
In the past.
Yeah.
So I have to try and find that.
Apologize for Dennis Hastert?
No.
You mean to who?
He was quoting Dennis Hastert's. I got to find this information. Should
right.
we take some phone calls
yeah,
while
please.
I'm looking?
Yeah.
Jim has called us to talk about Dennis Hastert. Hey, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you? What did you want to know or say,
well,
Jim?
Well, you know, I certainly, you know, think Hastert should get what he's been accused of with the money thing. But I have a bit of a broader question: is that if he can't be prosecuted for what happened decades ago, mm-hmm. because it's out of the statute of limitations, how can his attorneys pull that forward and try to use it as leverage in the sentencing?
That
somehow
is peculiar.
That doesn't seem to be a good question. I mean, I don't understand that at all. And this doesn't go to whether he's guilty or not. I'm just talking about the legality.
Yeah, I'm confused on that myself. It does seem like they're using it to their advantage instead of the opposite. I can't figure that out either. I don't know. And I'll tell you what else. I'm one of those people who doesn't understand why there's a statute of limitations on a crime like this. This is the kind of crime. I mean, murder is obvious that maybe there should never be a statute of limitation on murder. But this is something that has ruined people's lives. How do you put
that's
a time
right.
limit on that?
And that's what we talked to Erin Marin, and I think that's part of her thing too. Is she is trying? She's done a law where she's trying to educate school officials and parents and other students to look for signs of abuse, sexual abuse.
Yeah.
But I thought she was also working on getting the statute of limitations eliminated in cases like Bill Cosby,
right.
and because a lot of times, and the reasoning behind this is a lot of times women don't come forward right away because they victims don't come forward because they don't think people are going to believe them,
or they think they're going to be held to a different standard because they're the victims. You know, many women have had that happen when they have been the victim of unfortunate crimes.
Yeah, but I don't know what the benefit is in putting a term on it and saying X amount of years have passed, because I think the people who are the victims of these crimes will tell you that pain doesn't go away just because enough time has passed. It's there forever.
It could be that, you know, for some people it's there forever. For some people, I think they get past it. However they do, I don't know. But
yeah.
Different crimes have different things. Like, my apartment got burgled. Well, it's not like I was going to live always looking over my shoulder. Am I going to get burgled tomorrow?
Yeah.
I got past it.
Yeah.
But that's a different kind of crime. That's not a personal violation, though some people would consider it that.
Yeah. I know. Jim, your question was a good one. I'm sorry we couldn't really answer it, but I don't know how his counsel is able to use this to their advantage.
I'm just kind of throwing it out there and hoping people will think about it.
Yep. Good point. Jim, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Great show. I always love it. It's the one I listen to.
You're very kind.
Thanks,
thank you.
Jim. We appreciate it. All right. We're going to talk to, is this Dan? Hey, Dan, what's going on?
Yeah. Hi, guys. When I was in the Air Force in the barracks, my buddy always brushed his teeth in the shower. He used to drive me nuts, and he goes, "Hey, what's the problem? You wash the other end of you."
Well, yeah, but still, there's a better place for it.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan.
The toothbrushing, I mean.
All right, I found this Dennis Hastert stuff. This is from CBS Chicago. This is through his attorney. Hastert's now 74. He retired in bad health. Hastert is scheduled to be sentenced April 27th and has asked for probation. Here's what his attorney, Thomas Green, has said. This was attributed to attorney Thomas Green, and I mm-hmm. quote, "Mr. Hastert acknowledges that as a young man he committed transgressions for which he is profoundly sorry. He earnestly apologizes to his former students, family, friends, previous constituents, and all others affected by the harm his actions have caused." Now that sounds more than just I'm giving somebody hush money.
I know that an apology is the first step, but if you're one of these people whose lives he altered by molesting them, and
doesn't
again,
mean
we'll go with allegedly.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Seriously.
That isn't the fix you're looking for.
But transgressions, that's not to me mentioning the hush money that he paid to individual A or whatever that is.
Here's another quote from his lawyers. "While Dennis Hastert is deeply sorry for his misconduct that occurred decades ago and resulting harm he caused for others, his life has been guided by his commitment to service." This is all part of the speech that they made the other day where they're trying to say that Dennis Hastert has suffered enough, which, again, I'm sorry about the suffering, Mr. Hastert, but if you've committed these crimes and ruined people's lives, I can't be that concerned for how much you've suffered because of the proceedings, Steve.
I'm in the unfortunate situation of defending Hastert and his filings here.
Yeah.
But again, I want you to remember these are sentencing filings from the defense.
Yeah.
And so they're making the argument for a lesser case, and they're saying...
So they're doing what they have to do.
Well, you know,
they should do, being his attorney.
Right, and the balance doesn't mean that there's an even balance in the scale, but there are things that they want the judge to remember as well, and the fact is that there has been humiliation and that there has been, you consider serving in Congress public service, and there's been decades of that. So there is that they want the judge to consider as well. This is them presenting their case. We understand he did wrong. He admitted doing what he's charged with doing.
Yeah.
Right.
And here's why
what
we
else?
Think you should consider just probation.
Right, right, right.
And you can find the testimony and some of the allegations that Individual A, who's being identified as Individual A, has accused Hastert of. And again, he's not on trial for that, but this stuff comes out, and it just makes you wonder. That's
all
I'm saying.
A break, some news from Steve, and then noted pet expert Steve Dale. Steve Dale is here, noted pet expert Steve Dale. He is one of the most beloved, most respected pet experts in all the galaxy. He comes by from time to time to share his wisdom with us. Hello, noted pet expert Steve Dale.
And to make exciting announcements. So you are the first in Chicago media to know this. It'll be on the 10 o'clock news tonight, I am sure.
Oh, this
and I'm
is
not
exciting.
Kidding. This is
not
this hot
5
breaking?
O'clock news?
That too.
Don't they have a 3 o'clock news?
That
too.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And it'll probably be on our, right here at WGN Radio, on our... What time is it now? 3 o'clock news.
Yeah.
So
this
yes.
is a hot breaking story, fresh off the presses. What is it, Steve?
Well, Chicago has been without an executive director or commissioner of animal care and control for some time now.
I know that.
I did not know that.
Sandra retired. Sandra Alfred, and they have named through a expert committee has suggested and has named a new executive director for animal care and control in Chicago.
And it's you, Steve.
No.
It's not you?
No.
Can I just tell you when he came in and said, I have a new announcement, or I have a big announcement, and he said, new head of the animal control here in the city, and I said, congratulations, it's you.
It should be you, Steve.
No, it should not be me. It should be Susan Russell.
No, I want it to be you.
No. Susan Russell has authored many books, and one is a recent one is Safe Humane Chicago's Court Case Dog of Chicago, and it's a beautiful coffee table book. She is involved with Safe Humane Chicago. She's been involved at Chicago Animal Care and Control for some time. She knows the facility. She knows the realities of the challenges that there are there. And she is excited about doing this. She's an attorney, incidentally. Yeah. But she has moved things forward in her efforts as a volunteer. And I see the same thing happening in her efforts as executive director, someone who could bring people together there. She is a vibrant personality, but moreover, she knows, she's a very smart lady, and she knows how to do what we need to do in Chicago to get to the next step, which means more animals getting out of there alive, fewer animals dying, being euthanized. And that's begun to happen. That's been happening in a big way anyway.
I've heard that a lot of shelters are now opting to be no-kill shelters. Is there any truth to that?
Yes. No-kill is kind of a buzzword, but I see the city of Chicago moving in that direction. We are now ready to do this. And Susan is the right person for the job at the right time. Sometimes there's just the right person for the right job at the right time.
Yeah.
And I believe that is the case.
How do you think we got into radio?
We were at the right place at the right time.
No.
We fit the outfits.
No, it's because you're very talented is why.
So you fully endorse this decision. This is a good decision.
Oh, I'm so excited about it.
What is her job? Like, what does she do on a daily basis?
She runs animal control.
It's all hers.
So,
it's hers.
So all of the employees that work there, all of the volunteers ultimately that work there, I mean, she's the boss of animal control. She is in charge of that city department, just like there's someone in charge of streets and sanitation or child services. She is in charge of animal care and control, which is really a family job, too, in a way, because pets are members of the family.
Yep.
All right. So there's some you're here to retort something, aren't you?
Well, I'm here because I love being with you.
Well, we love to have you in
the
studio. But speaking of animal control, there are wild cats out there, feral cats, if you will.
Yep.
There are rats out there. Chicago's had a big rat problem forever. But now songbirds are thrown into the mix. And there's an article that a guy that we work with, you can find his podcast at WGNplus.com, John Cass.
Talented writer.
He's a great writer.
Great writer. No
question. He's an opinionated man, may I say that?
A little bit, yes. And when it comes to cats, we don't quite agree. So a couple things. First of all, and there are lots of issues here sort of he jumbled all together in this column, which he asserts that community cats or feral cats are bad, that they kill birds, which they do, you know, to some extent, and cannot be used to kill rats. So we have a rat problem in Chicago. It's been in the news, right?
Is it because of all the dog poop? Because that's what they're saying, too.
No! Okay, so that's an urban myth.
Struck a nerve with Steve.
I know, but we need to know these things.
Yeah, I'm going to get very excited here because I'm really upset about all this. That is an urban myth. So given all the things that rats eat, and they eat a lot of things.
Yeah.
What we can do is where do you see rats? Typically in an alley. They're in an alley because of all the garbage that's in an alley. We toss things and there's no metal cover over it. They dumpster dive and have a great time, not only in Chicago, but all over the world. That's what they do.
They're just trying to eat.
Yeah. And dog poop is way down on that list.
What number is it exactly? Do you know?
Well, number two.
No, number 200. They would rather, actually, rats would rather eat baby rats at times.
What?
They rather eat their own poop than dog. It's a fallacy. It's an urban myth. There is no, and I've talked to urban ecologists who know more than I do about this. There's no documented study that indicates on that list of what rats eat, which is a very long list, that dog poop even is on it. I suspect it probably is, but to say if we were to eliminate all the dog poop.
By the way,
Chicago,
this list in the history of Family Feud, this had the lowest Nielsen rating in the history of Family Feud.
I would like to put rats in my backyard because when the snow melts, you find out all the tiki burgers that are in the backyard.
They're not going to eat it. Ugh. Your dog is more likely to eat
it. He doesn't eat
it. Sadly, good.
I will wash his mouth out.
But rats just don't like the stuff that much. I suppose if a rat were starving, I don't know. I've not asked a rat about it. But I do know this. It is not anywhere near the top of their list of what they prefer. And if we want to stop rats, what we need to do is prevent them from nesting in our backyards. And there are ways to do that. When we provide bird seed for the birds, wonderful thing, we need to make it so rats can't easily get to it because rats love that. The berries from trees, when they fall, wash them away with your hose because rats love that. And most of all, garbage! The trash all over the city, that's what rats eat. It's not necessarily, if at all, dog poop. If we got rid of all the dog poop in Chicago, we would have the same number of rats. Now, yes. What we can also do is Treehouse Humane Society has a program where they, and this is what John Cass wrote about, they relocate feral cats that are outdoors anyway. They've been spayed or neutered. They're not going to reproduce. Mm-hmm. They've been vaccinated for rabies. They are outside anyway. Mm-hmm. What Treehouse began to do, at the request and part of some aldermen as well as some businesses, was relocate some cats. Yes, thank you. From over there to over here where there's a rat problem. And guess what? The cats move in and the rats move away.
Well, they go
and it works.
Where do they go? They must go somewhere. Where is it?
Well, to be honest with you, some of the young rats may be killed by the cats.
You can be honest with me, Steve.
Yeah.
Right.
He just was.
Right. I like you preface that. No,
to be honest with you.
You don't have to be, but if you prefer to be, go ahead.
I'm always honest.
All right, so they eat the babies probably.
Sometimes.
But they curtail it, and as the feral cats are relocated, then the rats become relocated,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
They go somewhere else.
Yes, but then they go somewhere else where there are too many of them. And then what happens is, actually, the rats don't have enough food for those numbers. They sometimes cannibalize on one another if the population grows to that extent.
Jeez.
You know? So moving the cats in is in no way a bad thing. And it's awfully cheap. And you don't need poison, which is not the best thing for our environment. The other problem with poison is sometimes those black boxes you've seen that have the rat poison in them,
uh-huh.
The rats figure it out, you know? Or dogs can get into it, or little kids can get into it. So I'm not a big fan of poison, though I understand why we may need to do that at times. But cats are sort of a natural way to have some rat control. Is that the ultimate answer? I don't think so. But it's if it's helpful and the cats are out there anyway, what the heck? So John Cass says, no, because they're going to kill all the birds. Well, a couple things. First of all, they're out there anyway. Secondly, we have fewer feral cats likely in America now than we have had, because most of us keep cats indoors, increasingly. So if they're indoors only, they're not outside.
Right.
Also, if we're spaying and neutering them, which increasingly people are doing.
So then, they're catching them in like a have-a-heart trap, and they're getting them spayed and neutered and then releasing them again?
That's what we do with outdoor cats now, right. And what it does over time, if they can't reproduce, eventually they become older and die, and the colony goes away.
All right, let's think about that. Let's think about what we've done for just a second. If you want to jump in, 312.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah, we've please be nothing. Honest. Absolutely. 312-981-7200 is our call.
You're inspiring
and our text
to me. You've
line.
Done that.
Thank you, Steve. If you have a question or a comment for Steve, please give us a call. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
We have noted pet expert Steve Dale here in the studio with us. You can hear him Sunday mornings from 6:30 a.m. to 7 a.m. You can go to stevedale.tv to find out more information. And John Cass, in his recent article, was talking about feral cats, rats, and songbirds forming an unnatural mix. Steve Dale doesn't agree with that. Why don't you have him on your show on Sunday?
I invited him. I sent him an email yesterday.
I know where he lives. You want me to take it to his house?
Yeah. Go to his house, Steve.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be fun. Hey, John, nice to see you, neighbor.
With
look
some
who
cats?
I got.
Bring him some Salems.
I'll bring him.
You'll win him over.
I don't think he's menthol.
I'll bring him some cats.
We were talking about feral cats, and you said that a lot of times they are caught and spayed or neutered. Here's my question, and I don't mean to be mean because I love animals.
Yeah, I know you do.
With all these wild cats out there that are turning into like a population of rabbits, instead of catching them and spaying them and neutering them, why don't they catch them and euthanize them?
They can't. So it's been tried time and time again. I mean, this issue is one that goes back thousands of years. It's not new, and it's not specific to the U.S. So animal control does come out, and they tried to capture as many cats. They live in a colony. First of all, that's not so easy to do. They're mostly nocturnal, so they're up and awake and around at night. Do we have the resources in Chicago to do that? Do we have enough?
Are there that many?
Well, do we have enough animal control officers to deal with that issue? And even if the answer is yes, here's what happens. They catch 40% of them, 50, 60, 70, 80% of them. Even if they capture, and studies have been done to document what I'm saying, even up to 90% of them, which they never do. But even if they did, if you leave behind one reproducing male and one reproducing female, they reproduce like rabbits, literally. They're induced ovulators. They're hardwired to know they've got to fulfill that population void, and they do so in incredible time.
So they get busy even quicker and procreate quicker, and there would be more cats if we did that.
Ultimately, yes, because they not only fill the number that were lost, they actually overproduce, replacing the number, which is a great strategy for survival.
Right, keeping the species alive.
And that's what they do. And they're really good at it, as are rabbits. The problem is the cats don't have all that many predators out there, where rabbits do have a lot, and their lifespan is much longer than rabbits. I'm not saying I'm excited about the number of feral cats that there are in America or anywhere in the world, but the reality is that they're there. They've been there. They're going to be there. Birds, in fact, Mr. Cass, have other problems. So cats are on the list. Cats do kill birds. However, when you talk to ecologists that are out of this whole political bird versus cat thing, which I think is silly, here are the problems that birds have. And it's almost common sense. Habitat destruction, particularly migrating birds. So they go to South America or Central America, which is a good thing to do in our winter, and their forest is no longer there. And this is happening all over the world.
That's true. That's a fact, Jack.
Mm-hmm. Light,
Steve, whatever your name is.
It doesn't matter. Light pollution, air pollution are huge issues. Flying into buildings, you know.
Yeah.
The lights that are on at night
in
any big city confuses these poor birds.
Yeah.
These are more significant issues. And what scientists are now looking at is climate change. And they believe that, depending on the bird species, is probably an issue too. far more significant than cats.
Because you have people who have cats and allow them to go out, which I never understood. Because then
I don't like it either.
They come and lay on your bed, and they've been out, you know, in the mud and getting mites outside.
Well, more than that, it's being a sucky neighbor when you do that, because that cat is piddling in someone else's yard,
right.
or doing number two,
or walking on their porch,
yeah.
and stressing their cat out.
You're totally right. I agree. I think cats ought to be indoors.
But now, so these people who have cats as pets and allow them to go outside, those cats are doing a lot of bird hunting as well.
Well, not as much. So the other nice thing about having a managed colony, we talked about trap, neuter, return. When you spay and neuter these cats, you supplement them with food as well. Colony caretakers are at least supposed to do that. When they do that, you have cats that will still kill some things because they're hardwired to do it even if they're not hungry. But they're not hungry, and they don't work as hard to do it. And the same thing with indoor-outdoor cats. So there are indoor-outdoor cats all the time. I hear about it. And I understand that we'll bring home a bird that's half alive.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, I know.
Fun.
And they do that. It's not fun for the bird. But they don't do that to live, and they don't do that every day. And many cats that are indoor-outdoor cats are so well-fed, they are overweight and couldn't do that if they tried because they are so unathletic, they can't catch anything.
Kind of like if we had to, you know, go back to the hunter-gatherer times and we had to get our own food, we'd be in better shape.
I'd probably call Uber before I could get food on my own, you know?
How about that? Steve, thank you. We hope that you settle your differences with John Cass. I hate to see the two of you
well,
at odds.
No, it's the topic that I'm at odds with him about.
Right.
He's a very nice man.
And he's an animal lover.
I don't know about that. He's not a cat lover. And he says so at the beginning of his column because he's allergic. But, you know, take some allergy medication or something, you know. I don't know what to say.
We got to get these two together.
Yeah, we'll fix this.
Next time I'm on the show, or sooner, I'm happy to do that. And I am, again, very excited for the city of Chicago. Susan Russell will do a great job as executive director of animal control. And think of it, when you watch the news tonight, the news was broken right here on your show.
You did it, Noted Pet Expert Steve Dale. Thank you so much.
Do you wonder why we're number 81 in the 2016 Talkers.com Heavy 100?
I know
Because
why.
Of breaking news like this
That's
with
right.
Steve Dale.
Who else can do it for you?
You're
Thank
number
you,
one.
Yeah, we're number 81.
No,
right.
I don't believe it. No.
A break, and then we'll find out what Roe and Anna have next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thanks, Steve.